This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Marta Woken. The Philippine president has arrived at the White House for meetings with President Bush. President Bush describes the Philippines as a key ally in the war against terror. In an official welcoming ceremony, Bush said the U.S. and the Philippines are determined to win the global war on terror.
Our diplomats and law enforcement and intelligence officers are working arm in arm to disrupt terror plots, to cut off terrorist financing, and to bring the terrorists to justice.
The U.S. has been providing the Philippines with military consultations in the island nation's ongoing struggles with Muslim rebels. Arroyo is expected to ask President Bush for additional military aid to combat terrorism. Saudi authorities have detained a man carrying a gun near the U.S. consulate in the eastern city of Dhahran. Officials say the man posed no immediate threat and no injuries were reported. The consulate, however, decided to shut down to assess its security. The incident comes as Saudi officials are checking into allegations that members of their National Guard may have illegally sold weapons to Al-Qaeda. The Washington Post reports the arms traced to National Guard armories were seized in a raid on an Al-Qaeda safe house earlier this month. And the spread of SARS and tobacco control are the main topics under discussion at the annual assembly of the World Health Organization. Nearly 200 member states are meeting in Geneva. Suzanne Chislett reports.
Delegates are set to adopt the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, which will be the first ever global anti-smoking treaty. New officials have openly accused the tobacco industry of using dirty tricks to thwart the convention. But the United States, which had voiced opposition to the treaty, now says it will support it. The 10-day assembly will also focus on SARS and what can be done to fight the virus, which has killed more than 630 people worldwide. And Taiwan is expected to ask again for observer status at the World Health Organization, but China, which regards Taiwan as a renegade province, is sure to oppose the bid. Suzanne Chislett, London.
We'll have more in a moment.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front!
Hey, we made it!
Yeah.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Wait!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me. My friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over. Excuse me, miss. There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What?
Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
After 21 years of what he describes as doing nothing but government and politics, White House spokesman Ari Fleischer is calling it quits. Fleischer says he informed President Bush last week of his intended resignation during an emotional meeting. He's expected to leave the White House sometime this summer, possibly in July. Fleischer says he may be leaving the White House, but he will remain a key Bush supporter as he plans to help the president get reelected and be a significant part of his 2004 campaign.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
The nation's second-largest long-distance company has reportedly settled a fraud lawsuit with the Securities and Exchange Commission. USA Today reports that under the deal, WorldCom would pay $500 million to victims of its $9 billion accounting scandal. Sources say the settlement still needs to be approved by the judge overseeing the SEC suit and the judge in WorldCom's bankruptcy case. The fine would be paid when WorldCom emerges from bankruptcy protection, which could occur as early as this fall. Much of the money is likely to go to shareholders. WorldCom has changed its name to that of its consumer brand, MCI. The newspaper says it is an attempt to improve its image. And it was a huge weekend at the box office for The Matrix Reloaded. The science fiction thriller starring Keanu Reeves debuted at number one, raking in $93.3 million. That's the second highest ever, behind only Spider-Man, which earned $115 million in its first weekend in theaters last year. I'm Marna Woken, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Oxymorons. You know, the things that just don't seem to go together, like jumbo shrimp or deafening silence. How about new car and service manager? You'll be surprised. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered the company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com. If thinking of the service manager while inking your new car deal seems like an oxymoron, think again. Though today's cars are certainly more roadworthy than their predecessors, they can still break. In fact, the experts at the L.A. Auto Show report that automotive repair is a $200 billion business, and one of every three cars serviced returns for additional work. So ask your new car salesperson for an introduction to the service manager. It's a small investment with a big payoff at repair time and for maintenance checks. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Back to the show. It's Peter Werby. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Well, hello, everybody. Hey, Jalene Jordan.
Hello, Peter.
Back to the show. I don't get that. Whatever happened to our introduction? that fast-paced trumpet section.
Hey, am I late?
Yeah, the horn section of Chumbawamba, actually, is what usually introduces us.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, maybe because I've been off for the last couple of days, kind of rooting around in New Mexico, up in the mountains and what have you.
Oh, yeah.
And thanks to you for sitting in for
sure.
Thursday and Friday.
I always have a good time.
Let me, is she way up there, Char? Okay, I was
can
just wondering. Yeah, I can hear you. Just sound kind of low.
Kind of low. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
like that. Maybe it was that mellow music.
I think it was.
Yeah.
It mellowed your brain today.
Yeah. So I want to say again, thank you to everybody at KTRC in Santa Fe for just making our visit there absolutely wonderful.
They took care of you, yes.
They did. And when I say we, unfortunately, it wasn't Jalene and I, but, well, no, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? It was Marilyn and I.
That's right.
But it was unfortunate that you weren't there as well.
I know.
But
I know.
You were there last year, and I assume you are not going to miss another year there.
Oh, no, absolutely
yeah.
not.
Right. Okay, so it was great. And everybody was great. We met the most wonderful people. And I had two disappointments, which you already know about. One, I timed the visit to go out there to see the lunar eclipse, which I was going to view from the White Rock Overlook, where you can look down 800 feet. That's like an 80-story building right onto the Rio Grande. Grand River, and then you can see almost to the horizon, all the buttes and plains and high desert and what have you. And Santa Fe is clear about 300 days and nights a year, but there's got to be a few when it's cloudy, right?
Yes.
Yep, so there you go. But it was nice. We went out there with the proprietor of the the Cloud Cliff Bakery, and he was all set to do some filming. But we were disappointed, unfortunately. The other disappointment was we were going to go hiking in the mountains, Marilyn and I, and we're up to 10,500 feet, and we went on something called the Aspen Vista. I got about 50 yards and said, I got to get out of here.
Really?
Altitude sickness. Man, it was terrible. You know how, like, all of a sudden you realize the flu's coming on, but before you realize,
yes.
You go, what's happening to me? I'm starting to get nauseated. I'm disoriented and feel, like, kind of sick.
Yes.
That's exactly the way it was.
Oh, that's too bad, Peter.
But other than that, It was, you know.
Everything else was great. Everything, just a couple moments.
Yeah, everything else was great. Absolutely great. And, gee, you know, I did one of those things, Jalene, where I kept, well, I only take two or three stories today, even though I'm not on the air. And, oh, yes, this will prove my point. This will confirm all of my theories. So now I have about 6 inches high of material for the show, and it is causing me great stress and anxiety. Where to start? Where to start? Because one of the things that I figured out I could do, and that's one 132nd reason I wish you were here in Detroit with us at the network headquarters rather than in Florida. Didn't we do this one time? I would just fan out the stories like a
card. Say, pick a card, any card.
Pick a card, any card. Okay.
Well, how about Ari Fleischer?
Ari Fleischer quitting. I wonder what's the story behind that. Maybe his nose was growing too long.
I don't know. Maybe it was.
I mean, what kind of job to lie every single day? At least even Bush and them, they only have to lie every, you know, couple of days or something like that.
Well, even he got sick of it, huh?
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, do these guys have any conscience? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah.
I don't think so either. Hey, there was a story. In fact, I've been making two piles. One is called Liberation, which is in the ironic sense. That's of Iraq as things go downhill every day. They're getting worse.
Yes.
And every story in the paper talking about where are some of these things? Looting is derailing detailed U.S. plan to restore Iraq. Plan to secure post-war Iraq faltered. Pentagon ignored lessons from decade of peacekeeping, and on and on. Scholars feel helpless as they see their campus destroyed. And what we've seen in the past week, what is it, 40 days now?
I believe so.
Yeah. So we're going to have Reese Ehrlich on at 33 minutes after the hour.
Yes, and Reese, who is the other half of the book Target Iraq, has never, and Norman Solomon being the other half, and most people who are regular listeners know who Norman Solomon is. We've never had Reese on, so now the other half.
But good. We're going to, just in a few minutes. Now, I walked by our monitor here, and we had the Conservative News Network on. You know,
yes.
That used to be the Clinton News Network and the Commie News Network, but now it's the Conservative News Network. And one of the lead stories was kind of being played for a ha-ha joke. And that was that troops in Iraq are using music from Metallica and the theme from Barney as instruments of coercion. Essentially, sound torture. Here's the way it's put in MSNBC News. Your parents aren't the only ones who hate your music. Geez, what year is this guy writing it? I mean, the parents now love your music, right? Some Iraqis hate it, too. U.S. military units have been breaking Saddam supporters with long sessions in which they're forced to listen to heavy metal and children's songs, says one operative, chuckling. Trust me, it works. And it says the idea is to break a subject's resistance by annoying that person with what some Iraqis would consider culturally offensive music. And the songs are being played include Bodies from Vin Diesel's XXX movie soundtrack, Metallica's Enter Sandman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's funny. Enter Sandman. That shows you what business we're in.
Yeah.
These people haven't heard heavy metal before, explains Sergeant Mark Hadsel. They can't take it. Few people could put up with the sledgehammer riffs of Metallica, and kiddie songs aren't that much easier, especially when selections include the Sesame Street theme and some of the Purple Dinosaur Barney's crooning. Now, well, I mean, I noticed it even got a bit of a chuckle out of you, but that's an interesting concept, breaking people. And I wonder what would the thought would be that if there was prisoners of war in Iraq, remember they were for a while, and they were trying to break our prisoners, and instead they were playing over and over again culturally offensive music, like Arabic music, which I happen to love, by the way.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, you know, it is this come to this acceptance that the United States can do anything it wants to the prisoners which it holds, including turning them over to torture states, which are our allies, and including keeping them, as all these prisoners at Guantanamo have, absolutely in contravention of international law, and now chuckling about breaking them. Now, I wonder if we heard somebody from Iraq chuckling about how they had broken our soldiers by virtue of, by playing some culturally offensive music to them. This all just stinks to high heaven. You know that?
Yes, it does. It is so smelly.
Yeah. Now, I have two piles. One is called Liberation, and that is in the ironic sense. And we'll talk with Reese Ehrlich at 33 minutes after the hour. The other thing is The Racket. And that is just so, The Racket, that's our political and economic system. This is George W. Bush's rule. where he's taken the system into complete racketization. So there's not even, as it used to be, you know, a small segment would go to the people. Something would help the average person. Some of this tax dollar would go back to the average middle class and working class person for the tax money they got in. And a portion of it would go to help the poorest among us. And we have so many poor among us. And we find out more and more that there's more and more poor. In fact, there's been articles about how there's less poor in the city, and you think, hey, things are getting better, huh? In the midst of a big recession, but what it is the poor are just being dispersed.
Yeah.
So, but here's what you got to do in terms of connecting the dots. And if we would have played our introduction music, it said, "Welcome to the program that dares to connect the dots." And this is pretty interesting, Jolene. I think on Friday, May 16th, so I must have got this at La Fonda Hotel in downtown Santa Fe, off the plaza. Yeah. You can tell I'm wistfully. Actually, this is a beautiful season here in Michigan. You know, the May is probably the best month.
I love spring. Yeah.
Lower 70s, all the lilacs out and what have you. Anyway, here it is. Plan to suspend tax on dividends passes the Senate. Cheney, Dick Cheney, breaks 50-50 tie. That's his role as the president pro tem of the Senate. He can vote if there's a tie. He breaks the tie. And it says, on the way to passage of a sweeping tax cut bill, the Senate voted tonight to reduce and then suspend taxes on stock dividends until 2007. Now, what's wrong here? Well, besides the fact that this is just this big giveaway to the wealthy, we've seen the average person under this is going to get maybe less than $10 a week. If you make $1 million a year, you're going to get $100,000 tax break. But I had somebody arguing on my Detroit show last night, Jolene, that, essentially the Bush line, that the wealthy people, they pay the most of the taxes, so then they'll get it back and they'll invest it, and then they'll give jobs for us serfs and peasants.
Right, that whole.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't say serfs and peasants, but that's what I said. All right, so how do we connect the dots? Well, buried away in New York Times, I think the same day, Bush assets set at $8.8 million, Cheney's at $19 million in the kind of filings that they have to do. But that's the low ball. Usually what they have to do, not usually, what they do is they have to do it between this and between that. So it says Bush said his worth as of the end of last year could have been as much as $22 million, and Cheney said his might have been as high as $86 million.
Oh,
all right, so do the math, folks. These are people, for every million, are going to save $100,000. You and I are going to get 10 bucks a week if we're lucky. Right? Maybe if you make between $50,000 and $75,000.
And I don't call that much luck.
No. So there is something enormously corrupt here. You would think at least that the people that proposed this bill, Dick Cheney and his buddy, you know, his the sock puppet, George W. Bush, would at least have the decency to say this excludes us. The fact that we're going to pass legislation that is going to provide us with hundreds of thousands of dollars more in income that we don't need because we're already so filthy rich, or in the case of Cheney, millions of dollars. You remember, he's still getting millions of dollars from this bribery firm. Yeah, Halliburton. Everywhere you turn, I mean, there's just too much here. The racket, you know, that Halliburton paying bribes to a Nigerian official, on and on and on. Also, Tommy Mottola, right?
Yeah, Sony, former Sony.
Former Sony.
Left, I think, right?
Yeah, he sat on the platform with Bush during an event at the Capitol today honoring slain police officers, gave Jenna Bush 6 Rolling Stones tickets worth almost $2,000, and Jenna's Secret Service detail gave her 2 more Stones tickets worth $607.
Oh my God.
These are little corruptions, and they paid for it out of their own money. The Secret Service guys. Well, I'm sure Tommy Mottola did as well.
Yeah.
But
those Bush girls, they seem to have it pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you hear the story about the actor Ashton Kutcher is his name. He's from Iowa, believe it or not. Now he's big. Does a show called That 70s Show, and
sure,
he's done movies. Well, he was on the cover, I believe, of Rolling Stone this month. And he talks about how he smoked pot out of a hookah with the Bush twins.
Yeah, they were getting high.
I love that.
I'm laughing at your laugh.
I know, it's so evil. It's so easy.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, you family values there. A family that gets high together stays together, I guess, like that.
Something.
Yeah, so, all right, that's the racket, but it's endless, folks. I've got maybe an inch more worth of articles about the racket. And it's not all just coming from the Republicans either. There is a terrible column today in the New York Times from Robert Reich, who was the former Secretary of Labor under Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. Also, the Senate tax bill allows you Hummer owners, there's a lot of you, right?
Oh, please.
To take a big tax deduction. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hey, what are you doing to get in shape for the summer?
Lots of sit-ups, man.
Spinning, baby.
Cutting down on the donuts.
Whatever you're doing to get in shape for the summer, make sure you get your Toyota in shape for summer driving. Bring it into your Toyota dealer before you hit the road. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts.
I am walking to work. Of course, I work out of my house.
Make an appointment with your Toyota dealer today and log on to toyota.com/owners for valuable service special coupons.
It's all in the mix.
Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm going to tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Lover and Dr. Dre style.
It's all in the
mix. Rolling through the streets, just doing my thing.
What?
I need the Twix to keep me in the mix, in the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix.
Come on, y'all.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157. If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
I want peace. You want peace.
Are you worried that the road less traveled is a dead end? I feel your pain. It's not easy to be positive and happy and peaceful in a world that's so often negative and filled with war and hatred and SARS, but we can do it together. Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Populi, that's Voice of the People. It's a program where people talk about the world around us and the one we want to create.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Come down.
to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Hey. Hi. Thank you very much. Time has come today to realize we are living under a racket. The democracy is gone. The republic is gone. We live under an empire, the rule of the rich. Hi, Jalene Jordan.
Hello.
And what was I thinking? Oh, yeah. CNN was on, the Conservative News Network, and we're going to talk with Reese Ehrlich about this in part. And there were gangs of guys demanding that women put on full, I forget what they call them in Iraq, not like the burqas, what they called
in Afghanistan. So just a head, kind of a head covering? You
no, mean? They want the whole schmear.
In Iraq?
Yeah, yeah. Women didn't have to wear that in Iraq, and that's
in
one
Saddam's
of the...
Saddam's Iraq.
In Saddam's Iraq, yeah. And now the Shiites, which represent about two-thirds of the population, they're saying we are going to have an Islamic state. And women have all but disappeared from public life now.
Well, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
You know, liberating the Iraqi people. Now, we were talking about the racket, though. And in fact, I try to introduce things that we begin to think, because language is so important. Remember, you know, from 1984 and that glossary in the back, how they thought that if you can eliminate certain words, you can eliminate the concepts, and kind of conversely. So if we talk about the medium instead of the media, we realize that it's just a single voice of power. That's what the corporate and the conservative media are. Just a medium for, you know, the words and messages, not even information, but the messages, the core messages of power. That is, we're in charge. We know how to do it. You can't. You're powerless. You're isolated. That's
like the telescreen. CNN is kind of like the telescreen that everyone in 1984 has in their house.
Yeah, except the difference is... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I would say the difference is that now, instead of the telescreens of Big Brother watching us, we watch Big Brother willingly.
Yes.
That's our friend Mark Crispin Miller's trenchant phrase, is that Big Brother is you watching rather than...
That's good.
Yeah, you, really Big Brother good. Is watching him. Yeah. So Robert B. Reich, who was the former Secretary of Labor under Clinton, he's got a column in today's New York Times that says, "Get a job." And he reports accurately that this spring's college graduates are entering the worst job market in 20 years, thanks to George W. Bush. The last part was mine. With a few good jobs on the horizon, many graduating seniors think it is time to get an advanced degree. They should think again. So he's telling them, you know, go out into the job market. Many college graduates would do better to lower their sights in the short term and take a gopher job, as in gopher coffee, in an industry or profession that interests them. Even if the job doesn't pay much, it can provide a window on that particular world of work. Alternatively, with few responsibilities anchoring them to one place, they can pick a city with a relatively low unemployment rate, say Portland, Maine, or Lincoln, Nebraska, get a job with better pay and more responsibility, and see a part of the country they might otherwise miss. So this... Here's the problem with the Democrats, although, you know, they're starting to pick up a bit of steam about the economy. And I actually heard your pal, who you have on when I'm not here, from the DNC, from the Democratic...
He is not my pal, Peter Werby.
What's his name? Terry McAuliffe.
And I had him on once, and he almost wouldn't come on. Remember that?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, he actually accused Bush of carrying out, far right-wing agenda. So maybe they're waking up and smelling the coffee, right?
Yeah.
So Reich also says if they can afford, being these spring graduates, to go without a paycheck for 6 months or a year, they might consider taking an internship or volunteering. So what he's telling them, rather than writing a column as the former Secretary of Labor about the assault of the Bush administration, actually I'm going to steal this phrase, Bush Co., instead of, you know, like Bush Company.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I was talking about that last week.
I saw it. Did you use that already? Okay. You know, rather than saying Bush Co. has presided over the loss of millions of jobs and will become the first president since Depression era Herbert Hoover to have a net job loss during his years in office. He tells these people that are victims of the Bush agenda and the Bush economy to go get a gopher job after they've graduated from college. Yikes. All right, Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, coming back with Jim Hightower, and then Reese Ehrlich. We'll talk about liberation in Iraq as the women have to cover themselves all the way up.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lab number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
3,100 flight attendants with American Airlines will lose their jobs by the end of June, according to the wage and benefit concessions agreement their union signed with the airline earlier this year to help keep it from going bankrupt. Those first to go from the payroll will be flight attendants with the least seniority. As many as 4,600 were to be laid off, but since 1,500 flight attendants agreed to take voluntary leave, the number of pink slips was reduced. The workers were notified of the pending layoffs on Wednesday, and the following day, American followed up with an announcement that it still may go bankrupt. At this point, however, the company is not talking about trying to squeeze more labor concessions out of its workforce to stay afloat yet.
A 7-month strike of tortilla workers in South Chicago has come to an end, but employees of Azteca Foods say they'll continue to call for a boycott until their union wins a first contract. Azteca tortilla workers struck their plant last September, charging that company managers illegally spied on workers while interrogating and threatening to fire union supporters. Last week, the company settled with the National Labor Relations Board, and while it's not admitting any wrongdoing, Azteca will be forced to post notices in the workplace pledging to abide by labor laws. The workers now return to the job with what they hope will be a stronger position at the bargaining table, where they hope to win a pension plan, health insurance, and higher wages than the $10.75 an hour that senior employees now earn. During their 7-month walkout, not a single striker crossed the picket line.
Members of the British government and fire brigades union are back at the bargaining table today in what may be a last-ditch attempt to hammer out a new contract for the country's firefighters. The government has a bill to force a settlement just about ready to clear both houses of parliament, and the FBU says if today's talks don't go well, it will schedule a fresh round of strikes tomorrow.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern, on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Show 1-800-TALK-YES 1-800-825-5937.
Absolutely nothing. And the late Edwin Starr, that song still makes as much sense as it did to the run-up for the absolutely illegal, needless war against Iraq. And when we talk to our guest in just a couple of minutes, we'll make that absolutely clear. By the way, that phrase Bushco for Bush and Company. Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network refers to the Bush crime family. So he's got the best phrase of all, but I don't know. I got to come up with something. This isn't original, obviously. I'm taking it from Mark Morford's column. He's a San Francisco Gate columnist. You can go to sfgate.com, and there is an absolutely wonderful column called Bushco Reams Nation Good, No Weapons of Mass Destruction After All, No Excuse for War, Too Late for Anyone to Care Anymore. Ha ha, suckers. But anyways, we want to get to our guest, Reese Ehrlich. We'll talk about his experiences in the book he's co-authored with Norman Solomon called Target Iraq. But right now, here's America's favorite populist, Jim Hightower, on the Peter Werby Show.
What a wonderland world it is in Washington. Wrong can be right, down can be up, a lie can be truth, all because the president says it's so. Our present president seems to love to lie. Not because George W. likes doing wrong, but because lies simplify his life, turning his confusion into clarity. I think he even believes his lies when he speaks them. And when he gets caught lying, hey, that's in the past. It's just a technicality. And besides, it depends on how you define truth. Well, how about the big truth of WMDs? Where are those weapons of mass destruction that George W. so absolutely insisted Saddam Hussein had targeted at the U.S., posing the imminent threat that was his moral excuse for invading Iraq? It's a scream to watch the Bushites now try to squirm out of the inconvenient reality that they found no masses of WMDs in Iraq. Lately, they tried to claim every slingshot, trailer, empty casing, and barbecue pit that they come across as proof of Saddam's WMD program. But when launching his Iraq attack, George didn't talk about such small stuff. He spoke specifically about a mushroom cloud that Saddam would ignite in America. The Bushites also flatly asserted that Saddam had 500 tons of mustard gas, 25,000 liters of anthrax, 30,000 rockets to deliver chemical weapons, dozens of Scud missiles, 18 biological warfare factories, all sorts of long-range missiles and other WMDs that now can't be found. First, they claimed that Saddam hid them. Then, that he took them with him. How? In his backpack? But now the Bushites say it doesn't matter. We kicked Saddam's butt, and that's all anyone needs to know. Doesn't matter? The president blatantly lied to we the people, and it's okay? What moral message are the Bushites sending to America's children and the people of the world? This is Jim Hightower saying, lies don't make truth, even if a president says they do.
Thank you very much, Jim Hightower, a regular feature here on the Peter Werby Show. You can go to jimhightower.com for more information. Joining me right now is Reese Ehrlich, and Reese Ehrlich is co-author of Target Iraq. He co-authored that with one of our favorite guests here on the show, Norman Solomon. Reese Ehrlich, welcome to the broadcast. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. The full title of the book, by the way, is Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You.
That's right. And we have to fault Norman's own group, Institute for Public Accuracy, that does not include
the full title.
The full title. Of his own book.
We'll have to take that up with the office there.
All right. There's so much to talk about. You covered Iraq before the war, up to, through last fall, for the San Francisco Chronicle and the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. And like most of us, you've seen the aftermath. We just heard Jim Hightower dismiss the idea of weapons of mass destruction, which was the rationale. And so now it's come over to the idea that we've liberated this long-suffering people, which, in fact, they are. But things aren't exactly going the way the United States intended.
Just a quick note that, you know, the other big argument that the Bush administration put forward was that this was stopping terrorism and that Saddam Hussein was linked to terrorist groups and Al-Qaeda. And that one, you notice they don't even make that argument anymore because that one was obviously false from the very beginning. The U.S., you know, we obviously all see the chaos that's going on in Baghdad and much of Iraq right now, looting and criminal activity. And, you know, there were three U.S. Soldiers killed yesterday, according to the New York Times. It's a chaotic situation. And it's not just the fact that the U.S. didn't have a good enough plan. They had a plan. The plan was wrong. And you know why? What their plan was based on was that the Iraqi people were going to rise up and strew flowers in the path of the American troops, that it would be relatively easy to get the old Iraqi army soldiers and police back on the streets to stop any potential chaos.
And that's
that was their plan. They really believed that. And it was part of the whole self-delusion that the Bush administration went into from the beginning of the war.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's not just a rhetorical flourish on your part, Reese Ehrlich, about, I mean, Cheney actually said, we are going to be welcomed as liberators.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And if you assume that, then you don't need to make a lot of plans to have hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops occupy the country for a long term, because these Iraqi people are going to welcome democracy, free markets, and presumably the Republican Party to run their country, and it didn't work out that way. And now the American troops on the ground are going to suffer a lot as a result of that decision, not to mention the American taxpayers are going to have to foot the bill for this enormous occupation.
Now, I notice, in fact, we may have a guest from another one of our favorite groups, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, that, and this goes to the subtitle of your book, which I've already forgotten because it's a long one.
Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You.
What the News Media Didn't Tell You. And they told us very little here in the United States, even though among ourselves we were able to create a pretty substantial anti-war movement based on our ability to communicate among ourselves through the Internet.
Yeah, I talked with somebody who lived in Chile during the years of Pinochet, and nobody believed the official media in those days, right?
Right.
So what do? Everybody turns to alternative sources of media. In those days, it was like shortwave broadcasts and underground leaflets and stuff like that, underground newspapers. But nowadays, millions and millions of Americans simply didn't believe what they were reading in the newspapers or watching on TV. They turned to the Internet, which is a tremendous resource. And lots of independent, you had everything from very respectable British dailies like The Independent, The Guardian, The Observer, or BBC even had better coverage than anything in the U.S. Everything from respected media sources like that to indie media and community radio stations and networks like yours, which were trying to put out an alternative view. And it's had a tremendous impact. There was a huge upsurge in interest in alternative medias of all kinds.
Mm-hmm. Now, you may have seen this already, although you're on the West Coast. The New York Times today had an article about the university at Basra University.
Yes.
Says scholars feel helpless as they see their campus destroyed. And it says every morning the professors and students come to Basra University and watch one more donkey pull one more load of loot from the place. And they're looking at this wreckage and saying, how they ask, could allied forces have allowed criminals to violate Basra University, picking it apart book by book, chair by chair, brick by brick? Now, Reese Ehrlich, you were in Baghdad before the war, and you saw Baghdad University. Do you know its fate?
Yeah, it was. It's pretty bad. I spent a day on my own at the Baghdad University, away from my government minder, which at that time the Iraqi government assigned to all foreign reporters, and really got to know some of the students and the faculty there. That place has been looted and gutted as well. There was some fighting that went on at the Baghdad University, but far more damage is done by the looting afterwards. And here you have a situation. These were major centers of learning. These were respected institutions throughout the Arab world. Sure, there was the Ba'athist Party leadership. Basically, you had to be in the Ba'athist Party if you were at the level of department chair or above. But a lot of very good education was also going on there, and those institutions of higher learning have been completely gutted. It's hard to imagine what an analogy in the United States would be, but it's as if the New York University and UC Berkeley were all the classrooms destroyed, all the science labs, all the computers stolen, and then you're supposed to start your semester to start to do some teaching. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really outrageous.
Now, the Minister for War, Donald Rumsfeld, he frequently, when he's approached with reports like this, he'll say something like, democracy is messy. So, how would you respond to that?
Yeah, well,
one almost can't respond to it.
He tried to justify the looting as saying it was a justifiable response to the oppressive dictatorship. Well, I want to know the next time some American city goes up in flames because people are angry at police brutality or something like that, I want to hear him say the same thing, that, well, of course, people doing that in the streets here is justified given the political system they have to live under. But, of course, your support, who's a terrorist, who's a looter, who's a freedom fighter is all a very flexible definition for those in power in this country. This situation has gotten so bad. I mean, it's only 40 days since the fall of the Saddam statue, and the situation is total chaos in Iraq. We shouldn't be surprised. We were before, both Norman Solomon, my co-author, and I were talking about this well before the war started up. The model is Afghanistan. The U.S. went in, toppled the horrible, a repressive Taliban regime, which it was. And in that case, there was actually relatively more support. I was in Afghanistan, and the most Afghans that I talked to were very much opposed to the Taliban government and actually welcomed the U.S. initially. But now There is no democracy. There is no functioning government. There is no police. There is no military on a national level. But we don't hear about that because, you know, it's kind of dropped off the map and there aren't a whole lot of U.S. soldiers getting killed. But basically, the U.S. succeeded in turning Afghanistan into chaos, with warlords running the show and opium, heroin now being the number one exporter of the country. It's the largest exporter of heroin in the entire world within months after the U.S. invasion, and the U.S. just washes its hands of that. So, you know, in a lot of ways, Afghanistan provides the model, which is chaotic warlords and a conflict, religious and ethnic conflict, for years to come. Now, in the case of Iraq, that would be too embarrassing, so that therefore they're going to try having the U.S. troops occupy the country for a while. There's now 160,000 U.S. troops in Iraq. That's 40% of all the active duty units in the entire U.S. Army. That's a lot. I mean, what if a real crisis broke out somewhere? what if the U.S. was actually threatened somewhere?
Well, the only crises always are ones initiated by, in the last few years, by Republican administrations. So we don't have to worry about that. Now,
I'll add to that. The Clinton administration was pretty good at manufacturing crises, too. Remember, the U.S. Under Clinton bombed Afghanistan and Sudan, the so-called chemical weapons factory that turned out to be a pharmaceutical plant. The Democrats at the highest levels don't have a real good record on this either, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely, no, I agree with that. I mean, in terms of use of massive numbers of troops or you know, invasions of the manner of you know, that we've seen over the last few months here and during the Reagan and Bush administrations. Now, I have on my website at peterwerby.com an Iraq body count, which has a minimum and maximum. These are taken from press reports. Minimum 4,065, the maximum 5,223. Below it, of course, is the weapons of mass destruction count, which is at zero. But there was just an article, in fact, a very big article in the Los Angeles Times about trying to make some get a sense of how many civilians are killed. There doesn't appear to be any political will on the part of the United States to give any accurate reporting.
Oh, it's more than that. There's a political will not to report civilian casualties. They make a very explicit, intentional decision not to investigate civilian casualties anywhere where the U.S. is invaded. And I asked, when I was in Afghanistan, I asked a very, very high-ranking U.S. official in an interview, what about the civilian casualties in Afghanistan? He says, we don't have any plans whatsoever to count civilian casualties. Because if they do, then they start, you know, people start asking questions like, okay, why did so many American soldiers and Iraqi civilians die if these weapons that we have, our weapons of mass destruction, are so effective, you know, targeted missiles and smart bombs, etc. How come so many innocent civilians die? So they choose to simply ignore it, making it far more difficult. The media, that LA Times article was quite interesting because they did what any good reporter would do. They went to hospitals, they talked to doctors, they went to mortuaries, cemeteries, etc., to try and sort out how many civilians were killed in Baghdad. And they came up with a figure of at least 1,700 in the city of Baghdad during the period of the Battle of Baghdad. Which dovetails with the figures you just gave if you look at the country as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
No, the U.S. remember, this war was waged at least as hard as a propaganda war at home as it was a military war abroad. The U.S. does not want certain information coming out. They work overtime to make sure it doesn't get into the media, and then they attack the media if it ever does.
We have only about 90 seconds left, unfortunately, Reese Ehrlich. Talk a little about women. I just went by a monitor for the conservative, had the conservative news network on, and there were gangs of men telling women to put on, you know, full robes.
Yeah. Well, remember, Iraq, contrary to the popular opinion in this country, was actually a secular country. It was not under the kind of fundamentalist rule that exists in Iran, for example, or existed in Afghanistan. So I'm not surprised that, but by toppling Saddam Hussein, the U.S. has unleashed some of these extremist forces who use Islam as an excuse to oppress women and kill other people they don't like. And I'm not surprised at all that we're going to see that, where there will be tremendous pressure to to adhere to their version of Islam, which is not the real religion, but it is their version, which they oppress women, you know, ban alcohol, ban music, all kinds of very backward things.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for being with us, Reese Ehrlich. Reese is a co-author with Norman Solomon of Target Iraq. Remind me, am I correct, what the news media didn't tell you?
That's right.
Hey, I got it. Good. And I actually found it through buzzflash.com. You can also go to contextbooks.com as well, but I will put that on my website later in the day and people can
Well, we appreciate that very much.
Thank you so much and give my best to Norman Solomon. Tell him he will be on the program with us soon. All right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Reese. Bye-bye. All right. So what we're looking at in Iraq, and that's why I always ask people to reserve judgment, okay? Because right after this happened and people are saying, oh, yeah, the Iraqi people are liberated and we're safer, it appears as though it's out of the frying pan into the fire. In fact, right now, the Iraqi people are in much worse shape than they were under Saddam Hussein. And if you say, oh, well, this is part of the process of their liberation, that takes some extreme arrogance that you expect from Bushko, from the people in Washington, right? But when you have a situation of such chaos, the health system has collapsed, and essentially the entire social infrastructure is down, and say, we have determined this is how these people are going to be freed, I don't want to hear it. I'm Peter Werby. Jillian Jordan will be with me at 1-800-TALK-YES.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you're single and you've been going around in circles looking for the right person to love, then I've got a life-changing idea for you. Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Our team of PhDs has developed a proven way to match singles that consistently results in relationship success. That's why eHarmony.com is so different. It really works. We're receiving hundreds of marriage announcements, and these eHarmony marriages are significantly happier. If you're really serious about finding the person of your dreams, visit eHarmony.com. We'll take care of the incredibly complex task of compatibility so you can enjoy the fun of finding the chemistry. I want to encourage you to try eHarmony today. We'll give you an eye-opening personality profile absolutely free. This $40 value will get you started on the most important search of your life. Find real compatibility at eHarmony.com.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah. You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Holden Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
All right, thanks a lot. Welcome back. Jalene Jordan, welcome back as well. I think, Jalene, you're with me. All right, you're not, but here is Bob from Massachusetts. Bob, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was on the topic of Iraq. I was listening to a local NPR talk show a couple of days ago. Actually, the show is The Connection. It's on some stations nationwide. But they were talking about photojournalism, and specifically photojournalism in Iraq. And mm-hmm. they had a couple of good photographers who were embedded. And something they said at the beginning of it sort of really turned my stomach, but I don't... I wasn't angry at them. I think they were actually telling the truth as they could see it. And that was they were glad to be embedded rather than being in Iraq amongst Iraqis because the real story was what U.S. was doing and not Iraq.
Hmm. Well, I don't know what to tell you other than they became, of course, the official chroniclers of this imperial invasion. And certainly you never got any sense of a critical distance. I don't know if you saw that the head of the British Broadcasting Company, the BBC, said the U.S. coverage of the war against Iraq was like a case study of the manner in which a broadcast networks should not function.
Well, I certainly agree with that. You know, it's almost as if Iraq was just happened to be the part of the stage that our great man was acting his act, you know.
Well, I was going to bring that up. I don't think we have time for it right now, but in Friday's New York Times as well, there's a whole story called Keepers of Bush Image Lift Stagecraft to New Heights, and one of their clumsy headlines in the Times. But essentially it's talking about how all this imagery is manipulated. And one of the things we talked about, I don't know, maybe it was even a week ago or something, is that... It's not that good sections of the American people don't understand this. They know, for instance, that Bush could have taken a helicopter to the USS Abraham Lincoln. They know he could have waited for a couple of hours and simply walked aboard the aircraft carrier. They know that this is all stage managed, but they've become accustomed to this because they watch television all the time, and all of television is stage managed. And particularly, they know these reality shows, although they are reality based, they're still, you know, edited, and it's not like a live camera on actual people. So they like the illusion. They, you know, it's like watching a magic show. It's like watching David Copperfield. Just and those of us who might say, "Hey, this is how he did the trick," they're not interested in it because they want to be fooled. All right, Bob, thanks a lot for joining us. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES. We'll have Jalene Jordan with us when we come back. I'm Peter Werby. And I'll tell you about this article, if you didn't happen to see it, about how everything the Bush administration does, Bushco, is stage managed. And it's all to fool us. And are we that easy? Are we really that easy? Well, we'll talk about that.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Hi,
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Marna Woken. Another apparent terrorist bombing has shaken Israel. At least 4 people, including a suspected suicide bomber, have been killed in an explosion at a shopping mall in the northern Israeli city of Afula. More than a dozen others were injured in the blast. The Israeli Prime Minister's spokesman, Ranan Gassin, says Israel is ready to respond.
This is the third terrorist attack within 48 hours. There's no doubt that we're in the midst of a horrendous wave of terrorist attacks, suicide, homicide bombing. It's not only here in Israel, but in the region at large.
It appears to have been the latest in a series of suicide attacks that have dimmed hopes that a new U.S.-backed peace plan will end more than 31 months of Israeli-Palestinian bloodshed. Israeli radio reports say that police suspect the latest blast was a suicide attack carried out by a woman. In Baghdad, thousands marched to protest the U.S. occupation of Iraq. Some news reports estimate this is the largest demonstration against the U.S. since the end of the Iraq War. Laura Iyama has more.
As many as 10,000 gathered in front of a Sunni mosque before marching through the streets of Baghdad to a Shiite shrine. They chanted, "No Shiites and no Sunnis, just Islamic unity." Their banners read, "No to the foreign administration," and "We want honest Iraqis, not their thieves." One activist says they are calling for an interim government that represents all segments of Iraqi society. The protest was organized by religious groups who are said to be wrestling among themselves over the future of Iraq. The clerics charge that the U.S. administration has failed to reach out to them. Some U.S. officials say the U.S.-backed opposition parties have tried to reach out to other groups to include representatives from inside Iraq. Laura Iyama.
President Bush welcomed the Philippine president today in a joint news conference in the East Room of the White House. We'll have more in a moment.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
Divers are continuing to search part of San Francisco Bay as the investigation into the murders of Lacey Peterson and her unborn son continues. Investigators are using sonar and a grid system to track a wide area near Richmond, California, where the bodies of Lacey Peterson and the unborn child, who is to be named Connor, were eventually recovered. They are said to be looking for a number of items, including fishing hooks, wires, and 2 cement blocks that police say Scott Peterson may have used to sink the body of his pregnant wife. Scott Peterson is charged with capital murder. We'll have more in a moment.
When we bought this house, I really loved all the open space nearby.
Me too.
Too bad our real estate agent never mentioned what they had planned for that space.
Four!
Yeah, too bad. Want to find the right real estate agent for you? Come to LendingTree.com.
We'll personally match you with a Lenny Tree certified real estate agent, provide access to home listings, even a $1,000 gift card. Call 1-800-555-TREE or click on LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
The nation's second largest long-distance company has reportedly settled a fraud lawsuit with the Securities and Exchange Commission. USA Today reports that under the deal, WorldCom would pay $500 million to victims of its $9 billion accounting scandal. Sources say the settlement still needs to be approved by the judge overseeing the SEC suit and the judge in WorldCom's bankruptcy case. The fine would be paid when WorldCom emerges from bankruptcy protection, which would occur as early as this fall. Much of the money is likely to go to shareholders. WorldCom has changed its name to that of its consumer brand, MCI. The newspaper says it is an attempt to improve its image. And after 21 years of what he describes as doing nothing but government and politics, White House spokesman Ari Fleischer is calling it quits. Fleischer says he informed President Bush last week of his intended resignation during an emotional meeting. He is expected to leave the White House sometime this summer, possibly in July. Fleischer says he may be leaving the White House, but he will remain a key Bush supporter. I'm Marta Wilkin, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Liger with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're all dressed up with places to go. You scoot behind the wheel, turn the key, but no go. Now you're just all dressed up. What's to blame? Battery or starter? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
When cars won't start, it's always frustrating. What's the culprit, battery or starter? Here's how to tell. If it's night, turn on your headlights. If they don't come on, of course it's the battery. But if they do, leave them on and try to crank your car. If they dim or go out, the battery's to blame. During daylight, try the same test with your horn. If your lights and horn operate normally when you try to crank your car, guess what? It's the starter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome. And Jalene Jordan, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you, Peter. And you think without any guests, we're going to be able to fill the time. Are there any topics that might fill?
I could do this, too. I can't even whistle very well.
That's better.
Okay. Should I do that for the next 2 hours?
No.
All right. Give us a call at 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. We were talking about the liberation of Iraq last hour, liberation in with high irony. And let's see, Billy Pilgrim, and he's one of the people that makes the Global Free Press go. You can go to globalfreepress.com. You can go to my website, Peter Werby, PeterWerbe.com, and Billy Pilgrim and the Global Free Press are one of the two groups that are archiving this show.
Great.
And he sends in this quote, "Not as tyrants have we come, but as liberators." Who said that?
Not as Rumsfeld.
Adolf Hitler.
Oh. Wow.
That's one of these cruel but fair things. Now, what I lost this. Oh, yeah, here. I'm glad this is still here. The other thing is we were trying to think up a name for the Bush. Let's call it the formal name, the Bush administration. Now, Mike Malloy, who broadcasts 9 p.m. till midnight on the IE America radio network, he's got the mother of all terms for the Bush administration. And that is the Bush crime family.
Right.
And by the way, I'm not going to read through these, although I may a little later. I was saying I have two piles piles now. Well, I have tons of piles, but two big piles here. One is called The Racket, and
okay.
that has to do with the political and economic system that Bush rules.
Sure.
And the other is Liberation, which has to do with Iraq and Afghanistan, and that's, with again, with high irony. So under The Racket, it's a, this is from, you know, you don't see this in the United States press. This is from The Guardian of London, and
okay.
it's oil boss paid $1 million a year by contract bidder. The U.S.-led effort, I guess I am going to read it, the U.S.-led effort to rebuild Iraq was facing more criticism yesterday after the Texas businessman installed to run Iraq's oil industry admitted having financial links to a company bidding for reconstruction work.
Oh, jeez.
So it's just on and on like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
and here, Diana in Florida wrote in to us at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Here's a catchy name for the Bush crime family, Bush Crime Corp, or CORE. What would you call it? CORP. Yeah, Bush Crime Corp.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Diana, I don't like that one so well. But I like Bush. But, well, what can I say? I don't. You know, I mean, it's not the thing. It's not Bush crime family. Bush Crime Corp. CORP. I like Bush Co.
Bushco's good.
Bushco, and that is from, do I have it in the huge pile? Yes.
I had an article. It was in SF Gate.
Yeah, you go to sfgate.com, look for a column by Mark Morford.
That's it.
Yeah. I like it, and it's called Bushco Reams Nation Good. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, man. What?
It's a great article.
Yeah, did we ever get smacked on that one? Con big time. Punked like dogs. Just got to shake your head and laugh it off. They reamed us, but good, baby. Damn. Turns out it was all a big joke after all. The war, that is. All a big, fat, nasty, murderous, oil-licking lie. A sneaky little power-mad game with you as the sucker and the world as the pawn and Bushco as the slithery war thug, the dungeon master, the prison daddy.
Yes.
You really got to laugh, he says, because it's just so wonderfully ridiculous in a rather disgusting, soul-draining sort of way. And then he really pours it on after that. It's on my website at peterwerby.com. You can go to it and check that out. So, here, and who we're talking about, by the way, is Philip Carroll, and he acknowledged this conflict of interest. In fact, he said that, where were his words now? He could absolutely see that his business interests with this company called Flora, is it F-L-U-O-R, Flora, could cause controversy. The Californian company has formed a giant venture with the British construction company Amec to bid for work estimated to cost about $6 billion. Jeez. Carroll receives more than $1 million a year from Flora in a retirement benefit and bonus situation pegged to the company's performance.
So it is. The racket continues. And I think it would be, say, spell that again for me.
Fleur?
F-L-U-O-R. Fleur.
Fleur. I like that a lot better. Yeah. Right. And this from way back on Friday, May 9th, Cheney firm paid millions in bribes to Nigerian official. The reputation of Halliburton, the oil industry giant once run by Vice President Dick Cheney, took a new blow yesterday when it admitted one of its subsidiaries had paid millions of dollars to a Nigerian official in return for tax breaks.
Oh, my gosh.
So it is just this international racket. And, of course, as Mark Morford says, we are the suckers because we're paying it. In fact, actually, this is worth reading a little more of, isn't it? No warehouses teeming with nuclear warheads, no underground bunkers packed with vats of boiling biotoxins, no drums of crazy-ass chemical agents that will melt your skin and turn us all into drooling, flesh-eating zombies, unless, of course, you count the sneering vat of conservative biotoxin, that is, say, Fox News, in which case, hell yeah, baby, we got your weapons of mass destruction right here, bitch.
It's a great article.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, everyone should read the whole thing.
And actually, he goes on and on like that. Let's see. We're getting some new names in here for the Bush Gang. Bush Gang, that's kind of cool just in and of itself.
Yeah, Bush Gang works.
How about Beelzebub and his mighty minions? You know, like Beelzebub, the devil?
Beelzebub. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but he's got B period L period. This is Chris in Indianapolis. B period L period Zebub. I like that. Beelzebub. Yeah. I do have to admit it, that it sounds more like the bar band at the entrance to hell, though. Beelzebub and the Mighty Minions.
Yeah, it really does.
I like that. Let's see if we can quickly get some other ones. This is Russ in Santa Cruz. He says, I have to take credit for the Bush Co. name. I have editorial cartoons that I made as far back as 1999 that have the word Bush Co. on them. I never saw it before, and now I see it everywhere.
All right. Well, we'll give it to you, Russ.
Yeah.
You've been around for a while. You
Russ,
deserve it.
Santa Cruz, yeah, the nuclear-free city out there in California. And you can go to Russ's website. It's outragedcomics.com. Outragedcomics.com. Good stuff on there as well.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. You know the person of interest in the investigation of the anthrax attacks? Remember the anthrax attacks, Julian?
Yeah, you mean the guy who they accused and who has repeatedly said, I am not the anthrax killer.
Dr. Stephen J. Hatfield.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's tailed all the time. I mean, they are right on top of him. In fact, they are so much on top of him that the federal tail on Dr. Hatfield, Stephen J. Hatfield, struck him yesterday. He was slightly injured in a traffic incident involving a federal agent who was following him. He suffered a bruised foot and abrasions after the incident on Saturday. And he wound up getting a ticket for walking to create a hazard. Carries a $5 fine. Now, Pat Clausen, who's Hatfield's friend and spokesman, blamed the incident on harassment by FBI agents. And here's what's happening. They were Clausen, Hatfield, and his girlfriend were driving to the Georgetown section of Washington, and they were followed by several vehicles. So wherever he goes, he's got this tail on him.
Gosh.
And, you know, it seemed for a great while that maybe Hatfield was the guy. But
well, I mean, they were trying to connect some dots. You
yeah.
know,
but if he was the guy, why would they be all over him like a rash?
I don't understand it.
Doesn't make a.
It's like they're still thinking maybe it's him, huh?
Yeah, but if you would think they'd take all the tails off.
Yeah.
I mean, this does seem like harassment. So a green sport utility vehicle was following especially close behind, according to this Clausen, this friend of Stephen Hatfield. Shortly before 30 p.m., Hatfield's car pulled into a parking lot on the street, and Hatfield got out with a camera to take photos of those trailing him. Hatfield told officers the driver of the green SUV had been recording his movements all day when he decided to take a picture back, according to the police report. The driver of the green SUV then drove off, striking Hatfield.
Oh, my gosh. And so it was hit and run?
That's what... actually, maybe I should have got to the end of this. It doesn't say.
Wow.
I guess you can just hit somebody with a car if you're fed in the Bush Co.
And it's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Bush was just on the television. I want to talk about Bush and television in just a little minute. Hey, some people join us. We can talk all day. But, you know, I was talking to people in Santa Fe when we were there just this last week, and I would say almost everybody I ran into. There were a few people that, that are callers from Santa Fe to the show at 1-800-TALK-YES, but almost everyone else said, I listened to your program a lot, and I really like you and Jolene, and I'm really sorry. They always, they're being remiss. They say, I'm really sorry, but I never call in. So we know that about 97% of the people are listeners and don't call. I mean, I don't call talk shows.
I don't either.
I mean, you have a cell phone. I don't even have a cell phone. So I always listen to talk shows in the car.
Yeah.
So,
yeah
I can't
call either.
But,
so I understand that, but...
Give us a show.
Yeah. We always have to do that periodic, encouragement.
Or don't. Yeah. I mean, I think they, that we really like to talk, which we do. I mean, this is what we get paid for. How about Shrubco writes in Hank in Seattle?
Oh, that works.
That
right.
Yeah, Shrubco.
Shrubco.
Or Bushco. Shrubco. I'm just too afraid, though, that people will listen in. Even I was thinking about that. I always said I repeat myself a lot because there's people just listen to little segments and
sure.
new people. They're saying, hey, I just found your show. If you say, like Mike Malloy does, the Bush crime family, it's all right there. Right?
Yes, it is.
It identifies who it is. It identifies that it's a family. It has these, these implications of a mafia family. And then it has crime in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So it's right there. So if you say Bushco, you got a Bushco. What the hell is that? Right?
Yeah.
You have to really figure out what Bushco is. All right, we're inviting people to call in, so let's do that. I actually was going to talk about some other stuff, but we made the invitation. It's Tony from Virginia. Tony, it's Peter Werby and Jolene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Hey, you were just talking about Dr. Stephen Hatfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually heard something that there was a former doctor over there who was caught entering the premises after he'd been fired, and the same doctor had been fired for making... threats against another researcher, a Middle Eastern guy.
Yeah.
And supposedly when they started looking at this guy, that's when another researcher there, who was a good friend of his, came out and started yelling Dr. Stephen Hatfield. So there's a lot of, there's links out there on the internet which document it all. But it's amazing that that part of it, it was pretty much buried. They've gone after Hatfield like crazy, but this other person, there were some news stories, but you haven't seen them since they came out with the initial ones.
Well, it is interesting how he sure looked like a, given his history, given his credentials, given his entree into these medical facilities, his ability to have access to anthrax. He looked like he could be the guy, but now he looks, he's beginning to take on the look of somebody that's being harassed by the government. Of course, both could be true, right?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's also interesting, too, because I think he was known for being pretty conservative, I think.
Yeah, very right-wing, and he had some connection with South Africa, which I forget, during the apartheid government. So, yeah, it's a little strange. I mean, George W. was just on television saying that we're getting terrorism abroad, and that ought to give us pause here at home, and we ought to be prepared. And there's been preparations, and we can talk some more about that. Also, get your calls at 1-800-TALK-YES. I'm Peter Werbe with Jalene Jordan. Tony, thank you very much. Got callers awaiting. We will get to you when we return.
Can't go on anymore. I want to be free.
You want to be free of Hollywood, the glamour, the fame?
No. I want to be free of overnight liquid laxatives that taste like I'm drinking chalk.
Well, it's easy, baby. Take Freelax. It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just 2 caplets.
Ooh, are you sure I'll be free of constipation before my early morning flight to the coast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative.
Oh, Max.
Use only as directed.
Hey, what are you doing to get in shape for the summer?
Lots of sit-ups, man.
Spinning, baby.
Cutting down on the donuts.
Whatever you're doing to get in shape for the summer, make sure you get your Toyota in shape for summer driving. Bring it into your Toyota dealer before you hit the road. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts.
I am walking to work. Of course, I work out of my house.
Make an appointment with your Toyota dealer today and log on to toyota.com/owners for valuable service special coupons.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halvesies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
How is the GM 24-hour test drive different from the average test drive? It's about, 23 hours and 45 minutes longer. Long enough to take a GM car or truck to work, to keep it overnight. See how it fits in your garage. See how it fits in your life. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour. You must be 21 and be an insured licensed driver with approved credit.
Let me sleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at IEAmericaRadio.com.
And live from beautiful Camp Orcaida on Orcas Island. Chauncey, Dandelions, and the Endangered Predators. We got any animals out there?
Yeah!
I am an animal.
You are an animal. We both are animals. We eat like animals. We dance like animals. We love like animals. We all are animals. We all are animals.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
We love you when the weather's down.
What is that, Peter? I put that on there. This is Dana Lyons, who did the book, The Tree, and that's L-Y-O-N-S. You can go to danalyons.com, and it's from
funny.
His album, At Night They Howl at the Moon, at the Moon, and it's Dana Lyons and John Seed, and that's I Am an Animal, and I put that on there because just to rankle the conservatives, because they're saying, we eat like animals, we make love like animals, and I know they're just saying, sounding like animals, you are an animal.
Oh, my.
Here is Robin in Boulder, Colorado. Robin, it's Peter Werby and Jelene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hey, great show.
Are you a fellow animal?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. You ever notice that the people who are least believing in evolution are the most Darwinistic?
How do you mean?
Well, if you ever notice, if you look at the Republicans, they're pretty much survival of the fittest. If you're rich, you can get health insurance, and you get you know, but if you're poor, you don't get health insurance, you don't get Social Security. They want to cut everything.
But you remember what that was called in the 19th century? That was social Darwinism.
Right.
And it was one of the excuses as to why they were filthy rich and the rest of us lived these miserable lives of serfs and peasants and proletarians.
And they still do it?
Yeah, they still do. It's essentially the same thing. There's this theory. Gee, I had this parked away. Leo Strauss is this political theorist that all these right-wing wackos in the Bushco, or the Bush crime family, or whatever we're going to call
it. The insane clown posse.
The insane clown posse, but I think the Detroit rap band would probably object to that.
Trust me, yeah.
Yeah. But so one of the things that Leo Strauss put forth, and all of these people that follow him, and is that the most, I should get the word, you know, the best should rule, except they're a bad joke. How the hell do they get to be the best? Well, I'll find the article and talk about
media
it later.
Control.
Media control, yes, because
it's really coming down to the Telecommunications Act, what the American people can hear and see.
Yeah, and that's up for renewal, and that's part of the racket, of course, because one of the leading racketeers, Colin Powell, his son, heads the FCC that's going to allow further media concentration. If that ain't a racket, folks, what is?
I mean, I'd like to blame the American people, but they're being manipulated by the corporate media.
Yeah, but one of the things that we'll soon be able to do, Robin, is just like in any totalitarian country, we'll know what is true because all we'll have to do is listen to Pravda, which will be all of our television outlets. In fact, it almost all is there now, and we'll know the opposite's true.
Well, I had a strange experience. I was in Aviano when the war started, and I was watching Italian TV, and I was also watching the Armed Forces, which was broadcasting CNN. And it was incredibly different. You go to Italian TV, you see women running down the street, you see buildings being blown up, you see dead children. You go to CNN, you see surgical strikes, and you see talking heads.
Yeah.
I mean, the Europeans are not getting the same, nobody's getting the same thing as the Americans. It's all so sanitized.
Well, in Britain, for instance, the London newspapers were split, although I think the majority of them were anti-war. But like the London Times, the Times of London, they supported the Blair government. So there was a real debate, and people got the information. You could see all sides of this. And that's why the British people, because once people were actually shown all sides of the issue, you know, the lies that the Bush administration was putting forth as rationalizations for this war, rationales, it was pretty easy for the ordinary citizen to say, hey, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But amazing, Robin, even with the amount of nonstop lies that we were given about the reasons for this war in the run-up, still tens of millions of us said no.
We kick their ass. We win. We're the best.
Thanks, Robin.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Thanks for calling 1-800.
Take their gas.
That's right. Billy from Santa Cruz is waiting, latte in hand. We'll get to him when we come back. I'm Peter Werbe with Jalene Jordan. You can give us a call, too. 1-800-TALK-YES. And I found the article about Leo Strauss. I'll tell you some about that.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werbe Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
3,100 flight attendants with American Airlines will lose their jobs by the end of June, according to the wage and benefit concessions agreement their union signed with the airline earlier this year to help keep it from going bankrupt. Those first to go from the payroll will be flight attendants with the least seniority. As many as 4,600 were to be laid off, but since 1,500 flight attendants agreed to take voluntary leave, the number of pink slips was reduced. The workers were notified of the pending layoffs on Wednesday, and the following day, American followed up with an announcement that it still may go bankrupt. At this point, however, the company is not talking about trying to squeeze more labor concessions out of its workforce to stay afloat yet.
A 7-month strike of tortilla workers in South Chicago has come to an end, but employees of Azteca Food say they'll continue to call for a boycott until their union wins a first contract. Azteca tortilla workers struck their plant last September, charging that company managers illegally spied on workers while interrogating and threatening to fire union supporters. Last week, the company settled with the National Labor Relations Board, and while it's not admitting any wrongdoing, Azteca will be forced to post notices in the workplace pledging to abide by labor laws. The workers now return to the job with what they hope will be a stronger position at the bargaining table, where they hope to win a pension plan, health insurance, and higher wages than the $10.75 an hour that senior employees now earn. During their 7-month walkout, not a single striker crossed the picket line.
Members of the British government and fire brigades union are back at the bargaining table today in what may be a last-ditch attempt to hammer out a new contract for the country's firefighters. The government has a bill to force a settlement just about ready to clear both houses of parliament, and the FBU says if today's talks don't go well, it will schedule a fresh round of strikes tomorrow.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Seal. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire.
Zebra.
Peter Werbe Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Jalene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werbe Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to the Peter Werby Show. I thought we had a little announce thing there. Usually we play that when we're dealing with handgun issues, the Beatles there. Hey, over the last couple of years, we've been fortunate enough to have actor Mike Farrell on this broadcast, and his organization is Death Penalty Focus, but Mike has also been, besides his incredible acting career that goes way back to MASH and currently to Providence, and my wife says, man, I watch the reruns over and over again. It's a wonderful show. Mike Farrell is also an activist in his union, and his union is the Screen Actors Guild, and joining me now is Mike Farrell. Mike, hi, it's Peter Werby. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm
sorry, I'm on a cell phone, and it's a little hard to hear you.
Okay, well, I hope you can hear me, and we should tell people, there's this phrase where full disclosure, that's it. I'm a member of the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, and your union, SAG, and my union, AFTRA, are proposing an historic merger. In fact, you're going to be speaking tonight at our joint union meeting. And so that out of the way, I wonder if you could maybe sum this up for a national audience in a manner that wouldn't be just technical union stuff, but the importance of what we're facing as people in the entertainment industry.
Well, sure. As you know, this is a major subject and tough to put into a few words, but I suppose the essence is that the industry in which we work, all of us as either radio or television performers or motion picture actors or broadcasters, has consolidated. The industry that 30 years ago we dealt with a significant number of major companies, probably close to 36 different companies that were our employers. Today, with vertical integration, they have consolidated to the degree that we now have effectively 6 companies that we're dealing with for the majority of the work that all of us do. Having, therefore, 2 unions that represent major portions of the workforce has created problems in which these companies tend to play us off one against the other. The thought here is, over time, having tried to find ways to merge the unions, that they've worked out this extraordinary process of consolidation wherein each of us who has a separate concern, broadcasters, recording artists, or actors, will be together in the same union, but each have their own independent affiliate, which will deal with the concerns of wages and working conditions, all of the things that performers and broadcasters have to deal with. But each will deal with those problems independently and separately, yet have the advantage of being part of a major labor union that will have the necessary and hopefully appropriate clout to deal with the problems presented by management in the workforce to those of us in the workforce today.
I wonder, Mike Farrell, if you could speak to us a little about the seeming ambivalence at least some Americans have towards particularly people in both our unions, in the Screen Actors Guild and the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. On one hand, they love us, and then on the other hand, we're denounced as being kind of these ultra-wealthy people that extravagant in our tastes and at the top level, and then on the other hand, our unions are pricing ourselves out of jobs so that the production companies will have to go to Toronto and Vancouver. So there's almost this schizophrenic view of the way people look at us in the entertainment industry. Yeah, I mean, do you find that?
Peter, forgive me. I'm having a great deal of trouble hearing you, and I can't do justice to your comment without being able to hear it. Can I try to call you back on another phone?
Why don't you do that? Because my questions are always so complex. If I had simple questions, maybe they'd be easy. All right, call us back. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, Mike Farrell. And I wonder, is Jalene with us still? Jalene, if you can – hi.
Hi.
If you can jump in here. Mike Farrell, I was going to ask him, too. He did a hitch with the U.S. Marines. Because he, like so many of the people in the entertainment industry, are peace activists, and they always say, the actors, stuff like that. So
yeah.
He has that behind him, and I just forgotten in many ways that he had a bit role in The Graduate. Do you know that?
You know, what did he play in
that? I don't know. We'll ask him when he comes back. But he's had lots of films, lots of real interesting ones. And so we've got that's not Mike on there? Okay. So Mike's going to try to call us back. Maybe he's not going to call us back for a while.
I don't know.
All right.
He's a busy guy.
He is. In fact, he's going to speak at our, I think I said that, at our joint union meeting tonight in Detroit.
So you have to make sure that you go up and say, hey, I'm the one who's been interviewing all these years.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, in many, I'm sure glad he's here, but I think the vote is going to be like 100-1 in favor of this merger.
Yeah. Well, it's just a bonus then.
Yeah. You know, to see him?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Should I take line one? Yeah. Okay. Well, we don't know who it is, but we'll see. Hi, this is the Peter Werby Show. Welcome. Who's this?
Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
My question is, has anybody investigated what happened prior to the World Trade Center and that certain businesses in the World Trade Center took out extra insurance in July?
Hmm.
And this happened on September 11th.
I remember that. Remember?
We hear a lot about that. You know what I would suggest? To go to, what is it, either PI911 or 911PI.org, and it has a lot about that. Hey, Jackie, let me get back to you on this another time because I have Mike Farrell on the line again, okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much. Mike, welcome back. You're on the air again. And
thank you.
Actually, my question was so complex that I barely remembered. Oh, yeah, I was talking about the ambivalence and almost schizophrenic manner in which many people, many people that watched you on television or listen to me on the radio or see people in the movies that they have towards us. On one hand, they love us and we become almost like family to them. And on the other hand, they get real resentful when we take political stands or they think we're pampered and make too much money.
Yeah. Well, you're quite right. Anybody who is well-known, it is assumed they are quite rich, dilettantes, have no legitimate connection with the real problems of the world, and therefore, what do they know and how dare they speak out on these issues?
Sure.
It's sad, and it's unfortunately, as you indicate, a widely held view. But what they don't understand is that you and I are working people just like everybody else. We work in an industry that can reward one rather nicely if one is successful, and on the other hand, it can be pretty heartless.
Well, sure. There's a lot of people in the trenches. Let's talk about the upper levels, which, excuse me for making the assumption, I assume you're there or close to it, and one wonders then, why would Mike Farrell be a union activist being as successful as you are? If there was not a Screen Actors Guild, or that Mike Farrell would probably still be doing real well. Why the effort for a union that probably in many ways... Or you tell me if this is true, that you might not even need.
Well, you're quite right. Because of the fact that I'm what is called an above-scale actor, I negotiate contracts, or my agent negotiates contracts, that are really not relevant in terms of the union minimums that are guaranteed by the hard work of the union organizing background. But I was raised in a family. My father was a union worker. I was a member of the retail clerks union. I drove a truck for a long time. I've been in the working class for most of my life, and I still consider myself to be part of the working class and have a great deal of regard for the union movement and for the quite extraordinary advantages that have been brought to working people as a result of the union movement in this country. So it seems to me, and I don't mean to sound in any way self-congratulatory, but there's a certain amount of payback that is appropriate when one achieves a certain degree of success. When I know that when I got into the Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA, for that matter, I was thrilled to be a member of those unions and continue to be thrilled, and I was terrifically appreciative of the support that they provided me and the minimum wage that was guaranteed me and the conditions under which I worked that were wherein I was protected by the workers in the union that negotiated those contracts. So the fact that I work above that scale now doesn't change my level of appreciation, and it certainly doesn't change the need for young actors and young broadcasters coming into the industry to be protected by those same conditions and negotiated agreements.
Yeah, and certainly when people that are at scale or that need the basic guarantees of health programs and plan for retirement and what have you, that that union protection, that union guarantee is extraordinarily important. And it is funny, is when I first joined the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists 30 years ago or so, I thought, well, I mean, I'm going to join this kind of as because I support unions and I'm proud to be in a union. But as they say, the older you get, the more sense it all makes, of course, because all of those benefits start to accrue. But and maybe you could speak to this, that I noticed after, which I think is one of the better unions and really well administered, they keep telling us how benefits have to be reduced because of the economy, because of the hit that we're all taking.
Well, yeah, the economic conditions in the country today are disastrous, as we know, and the impact on the medical care delivery, for example, has been quite extraordinary. The medical plans across the nation are in big trouble, and our industry, as you well know, is no different from any others. So the impact is being felt across the board, and it doesn't matter if you're a scale player or an above-scale player in that regard. Your medical plan is your medical plan, and if the industry's costs are soaring to the degree that the medical plan's projections don't cover anymore the particular benefits that you need to have covered, you're in trouble. So I think it's incumbent on all of us to recognize that the plight of the working person is a universal one, and that we all have to be not only aware but be finding ways in which we can ensure that people aren't left behind.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mike Farrell, one of the concerns is of this media concentration, and we've been kind of disrupted the conversation a couple of times, so I don't remember whether we discussed it directly or not, but we have in front of the Federal Communications Commission this proposal that would allow even further concentration. And is this a concern of the Screen Actors Guild? I know it is of my union, AFTRA.
Oh, absolutely, Peter. Sure, it's a recipe for disaster that the FCC is talking about lifting these regulations even further. That, you know, we seem to have been for some years into a kind of deregulatory mode, and it's been promoted, of course, by the wealthy interests that want to have less and less government interference in their ability to make a profit. And how that translates is into how they can control working conditions and wages, how they can insist that those people on the lower level of the scale be given the short end of the stick in order for them to be able to reap more profits. So these determinations that the FCC is reputed to be ready to make are very worrisome to all of us, I think, and should be. Not only does it impact those of us who work in the industry, but it will also impact the consumer, whose news will be controlled by a smaller group of organizations that will be even more heavy-handed in their determination as to what is appropriate and what is not appropriate for the people to hear. That's a very frightening prospect to me in a society like ours.
Now, Mike Farrell, oftentimes when we've talked here on the Peter Werby Show, I've mentioned the whole idea of actors and rock stars and people associated with the entertainment industry also speaking out as individual citizens. I'm never quite sure of the argument why somebody, just because they're involved in the entertainment industry, can't speak out, particularly when politicians aren't. But there's been such vilification on the right wing of people like yourself and others who have been social activists, and it's even increased because of the anti-war thrust. Is there going to be any fallout from that? I mean, are the Susan Sarandons and the Martin Sheens and the Tim Robbins going to suffer at all?
Well, I think you have to understand that we are seeing a kind of new wrinkle on the old McCarthyist approach. This, while I believe it starts with government, this doesn't grow out of the government directly. It is, as you suggest, a very well-organized right wing that controls certain websites, a certain perhaps radio stations, a certain kind of voice that they insist is broader than it in fact is. And they have, you're quite right, they've been heaping vilification on people who have had the audacity to speak their minds if in fact those views do not comport with the the stated and desired viewpoint of the people that are in control of these media. So I think their hope is that they will chill dissent. They will be able to frighten people into simply shutting up. The fact is they will not. People understand that it's well organized. People understand that it comes from a smaller segment of the population than they would have you believe. Yes, Tim Robbins and Susan weren't able to be feted at the Baseball Hall of Fame, but people understand, even including the man who made that decision, understand that it was a very bad decision that that put him in a bad light rather than putting them in a bad light. And, of course, the famous event of Susan's being disinvited to speak to a charitable organization in, I think, Georgia or Florida.
Florida, absolutely disgraceful. Mike, we're out of time, unfortunately. Oh. But I know you're going to be addressing a joint membership meeting in Detroit, where I'm broadcasting from tonight. So I will see you in person.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You bet, Peter. Nice to talk to you.
All right, great. Thanks for joining us. That's Mike Farrell, the actor, and I guess he's not backing down, and I suspect all the other people that demand to be able to speak their mind as citizens won't either. All right, we got some of our calls patiently waiting. We'll talk to them when we come back. Jillian Jordan will join me. That was Mike Farrell, the actor. I'm Peter Werby. Our number is 1-800-TALK-YES.
If you're an allergy sufferer and want non-drowsy prescription-strength medicine without a prescription, you have a new choice. Allivert. Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, anywhere. It's non-drowsy relief even Claritin can't beat. New quick-dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Hey, what are you doing to get in shape for the summer?
Lots of sit-ups, man.
Spinning, baby.
Cutting down on the donuts.
Whatever you're doing to get in shape for the summer, make sure you get your Toyota in shape for summer driving. Bring it into your Toyota dealer before you hit the road. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts.
I am walking to work. Of course, I work out of my house.
Make an appointment with your Toyota dealer today and log on to toyota.com/owners for valuable service special coupons.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years
on them.
Well,
don't stop.
A few
stop.
More years
no,
on them.
No, no, no. I'm talking about now.
like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy?
Welcome to Nebraska.
How are you doing?
We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys are having way too much fun, you know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that
you
give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with his dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, I actually, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that, because it sure worked out. It's worked out great.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
John Lennon on the Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. Jalene Jordan, welcome back.
Thank you.
Mike Farrell, always wonderful to have on the broadcast.
I didn't know when that was going to come down. You know, when you have stars, they just kind of call, and I said, well, here we go.
Well, I want to get him live in the studio, but he's here essentially traveling for the Screen Actors Guild, promoting the merger of his union and my union, the Broadcasters Union. And he's going to be speaking tonight to our joint membership meeting, and it's probably going to be, you know, like 100-1 for it. So, but I'm glad he's here. Or did we say that already?
We did, and I just saw this on his bio in 2002 that he was elected first vice president of the Screen Actors Guild.
Oh, well, good. Yeah,
so that could have something to do with it as well.
Some sad news in the entertainment industry. June Carter Cash died over the weekend. Yeah,
I loved her.
Johnny Cash's wife, and he was at her bedside when she expired.
And who would have thought that? Who would have thought, you know, that June Carter Cash would outlive Johnny Cash? He's been through so much.
Yeah. You know, she was really opposed to the war, to the Iraq war. And so was he. He even had a song that was kind of involved with that. But hey, let's get Pat from Santa Fe. And he's listening to KTRC, where I broadcast last week. Hi, Pat. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan.
Hi there. How you doing?
Doing good.
I didn't have a chance to come down, but I heard it went real well.
At the Cloud Cliff Bakery.
Yes.
It was wonderful, Pat.
Good. Yeah. Listen, it sounded great.
No, good.
Yeah, I was listening to your interview with Mike Farrell. Real good interview. And I was hoping to talk to him and let him know how well I thought he did against Mr. Sean Hannity on Foxhole Network, was that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know. It says,
you didn't see that about a week ago or so?
No, I didn't. It says we'll hold till after guest. No, I would have let you on. I'm sorry.
Oh, he did great.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you ever watched Hannity interview people.
It's terrible.
And Mike did a great job. I was hoping to get a chance to ask him, you know, how he stays so calm with a guy like that interviewing him.
Well, yeah, because one of the things that is the conservative stock in trade with all of these characters on the far right is they don't let you finish a thought. So you say two sentences, then they say, boy, are you trying to say the better there? Or what about, you know, how come you won't support our country? Or, you know, something like that. So in many ways, if someone asked me, would I advise him to go on one of those shows, I would say no. But if Mike Farrell, if he stood up to him, good for him. All right, Pat, this segment is at an end, so thank you so much. Thanks for joining us, and thanks again to everybody at KTRC this last week where we broadcast live out in Santa Fe. What a great time that was. All right, we'll be back. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, 1-800-TALK-YES.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
An experimental drug is showing the first promising results of protecting people from exposure to nuclear radiation. The Washington Post is reporting that the treatment, known as HE-2100, seems to reinforce the immune system, which is most vulnerable to the damaging effects of radiation. In tests, monkeys who were given the treatment 3 hours after receiving near-lethal radiation doses became ill only 9% of the time. Military officials hope the drug could be administered to troops, police officers, firefighters, and healthcare workers in the event of a nuclear weapon or a dirty bomb attack. And a group of researchers at Colorado State University have released an outlook on the 2003 Atlantic hurricane season ahead of today's prediction from the National Weather Service. The report shows the upturn in hurricane-like activity will continue with as many as 12 named storms on the horizon. It forecasts that as many as 8 hurricanes could come out of this group. I'm Marna Woken, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Get to the Goodyear Hardworking Tire Sale and save big on selected Goodyear brand tires. And for limited time, get up to a $50 gift card for the Home Depot with the purchase of 4 selected Goodyear tires. So stop in today for the Goodyear Hardworking Tire Sale and get up to a $50 gift card for the Home Depot. But hurry, these offers end June 7th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the retailer nearest you. Or visit a participating location where quality Goodyear tires are sold. Goodyear is not affiliated with the Home Depot.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Marna Woken. At least 3 people are dead and dozens more injured in a third apparent suicide bombing attack in Israel in the past 2 days. Police initially reported 4 dead, including the suicide bomber, but have revised that number. The latest attack occurred at a shopping mall in the northern city of Afula. The recent spate of attacks has prompted Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon to postpone a visit to the United States this week. President Bush remains confident that the war against terrorism will be won and that the Middle East peace process will keep going despite the recent attacks. After meeting with presidents of the Philippines today, Bush said, "We are slowly but surely dismantling the Al-Qaeda operative network." He reiterated that the war on terrorism would be a long one and that Americans have been warned that dangers are still present. As for the recent spate of suicide bombings in Israel, Bush said that while terrorists may try, they will not derail the Mideast peace process. U.S. Park Police are investigating a suspicious tractor-trailer near CIA headquarters in Virginia. Allison Brown reports.
A bomb squad now checking out the tractor trailer, which is parked on the George Washington Parkway, a main Virginia thoroughfare right across the river from Washington, D.C. The truck first raised suspicions on the Capitol Beltway, the truck driver reportedly telling authorities there were potentially hazardous materials on board. Now the truck is being investigated as it sits near CIA headquarters. So far, though, authorities not commenting on what's inside or whether the truck driver is talking. Allison Brown on the GW Parkway in McLean, Virginia.
Northwest Airlines is asking its union to accept cuts in pay, benefits, and some jobs, but some unions are calling those requests shocking. Northwest says stronger air travel for the summer season won't change the need to cut costs. Molly Riley with the flight attendants union says they're watching closely for signs of growth.
Right now, there isn't the extreme urgency that the carrier would kind of like us to think there is. That buys everybody time.
We'll have more in a moment.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness, kidney disease. They all can be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know if you have it. But what makes diabetes so scary? Many people don't know when they have it.
because there are often no symptoms. Meanwhile, diabetes can be causing damage that will lead to serious problems later on. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk for diabetes. What should you do? See your doctor, because a simple blood test can detect the problem. And with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. For more information, call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. That's 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
West Nile season is upon us. Citing health officials in Louisiana, USA Today reports two people are recovering from what may be the first human cases of the virus this year. Wild birds in Louisiana and three other states, as well as sentinel chickens in North Carolina and a horse in Minnesota, have tested positive for the disease. State health departments have put up information on their respective websites on how people can protect themselves from the mosquito-borne illness. West Nile virus first emerged in North America in 1999 in New York City. More in a moment.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Yesterday, in Brakes 101, master cylinders, calipers, and pads were demystified. You learned they are a lot like hearts, muscles, and skin, all designed to stop cars and save lives. When I come back, it's Brakes 102.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Welcome to Brakes 102 at Car Clinic College. Today's lesson, analog braking systems, or ABS. Ever press the brake and nothing? You just pumped and hoped for the best? Hope no more. The best is here. Computer-controlled ABS. This system monitors the speed of individual wheels and applies precise braking power to each. And if any brake starts to lock or slows at a different rate than the others, that specific brake is automatically pumped or pulsed to prevent lockup. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. And this is the program that dares to connect the dots and discovers what? We have a monstrous racket instead of an economic or political system in place ruling us. Hi, Jalene Jordan.
Hi, Peter.
That's
Hi,
pretty
Peter.
Provocative.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
it's
whatever.
True.
One of the things we've been trying to figure out here is a name, so we don't have to steal other people's name for the Bush regime. Maybe the Bush regime is okay, because when you say that, I mean,
yeah,
that's pretty. But, you know, Mike Malloy's phrase, the Bush crime family, I mean, that sums up everything so well. So we've had Bush Co., Shrub Co., and one other, I can't remember, and that's the problem. They're not. They don't.
Busy, what was that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The, it should be the. Beelzebub and his minions.
Yeah.
But here, this is from Dawn listening in Portland, Oregon, and she sent this in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. How about calling it the Bush Family Evil Empire? Or BFEE is a great nickname. My favorite, in fact, she says, I see it all over the Democratic Underground, which is democraticunderground.com or org. I can't remember which. But I don't know who to credit. Don't call. And don't write on that one. They can, if you try democraticunderground.com, and
I think
if it doesn't.
.com.
You think it is. And then if it's not, go to .org. Because we haven't done much with them lately, and they're great folks.
They really are.
Yeah. Let's see. This from Bill in Chicago at, he wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. And Ari Fleischer, the unrepentant liar. Or maybe he is repentant. Maybe that's why he has resigned. I should get that part of it out. But Bill in Chicago, listening, writes, who pays Ari's salary at the White House? That's a good question. I mean, is the taxpayer, you and me, mm-hmm, having to pay Ari Fleischer's salary?
I hope not.
Dan. He says if it's a government salary, then Ari will probably go to the Bush reelection camp for a much higher payoff. He says that he's going into private industry because once these guys have been there, man, you know, they're...
Oh, he's got so many connections.
Yeah, he's a made made man. Yeah. This is from Cheryl, writing into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Peter, hope you and Jalene will enjoy this. Love your show. And on a recent road trip, got my husband hooked to the show via Sirius Radio. That's S-I-R-I-U-S. And the folks listening on that, Sirius Left, channel 145. Keep up the good job. And actually sent along that joke that we read on the air the other day about John Ashcroft reading at the elementary school, and he was visiting, and Bobby stands up and asks four questions. Suddenly the bell rings, right?
Oh, I remember
that. Yeah, he asks, you know, like, why did Bush win the election with fewer votes than Gore? Why are you using the American... it's good enough to read again. Why are you using the American Patriot Act to limit civil liberties? Now, this is, an elementary school child asking Attorney General John Ashcroft these questions. Three, why haven't you caught Osama bin Laden? Four, where are the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? Just then the bell rang and the kids rushed out to play. Upon returning, Mr. Ashcroft said, I'm sorry we were interrupted. I will answer any questions that you have. A little girl named Dooley stands up and says, I have six questions. How did Bush win the election with fewer votes than Gore? Why are you invoking the American Patriot Act to limit civil liberties? Why haven't you caught Osama bin Laden? Where are the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? Why did the bell ring 20 minutes early? And where's Bobby? I like it.
Oh, my.
Even though we've had it before. Now, we've talked about
it was
the...
It funnier the second time. I don't know what it was.
Maybe it was my delivery. I was hurrying through it, although I shouldn't, because probably some people haven't heard it before. Now, hey, at 24 minutes after the hour, right, and 14 minutes, it's Eat the Rich, folks.
It is.
Yeah.
Monday weekly segment.
That's right. And we're going to talk about the excesses and abuses of wealth by the rich fat cats of America, and sometimes even the world. If you want to send in an entry, call talkyes@yahoo.com, and you win absolutely nothing other than hearing your name on the radio. If you send in something, you want your last name put in there, please tell us that as well. Got a good one for this week. Now, this is from Chris, except this is extraordinarily interesting, okay, because we talk a lot about the Carlyle Group. That's part of the racket. That's the racket that sold the U.S. government, which the government bought with our tax dollars, all the weaponry it needed for destroying Iraq and exploding all these weapons and leaving depleted uranium around everywhere. And then the other part of the racket is Bush's friends rebuilding Iraq with our tax dollars. So the Carlyle Group, though, that's where you can accurately call it the Bush crime family, because Poppy Bush is involved directly in that organization.
The Bin Laden family.
And the Bin Laden family.
Before 9/11.
Yeah, they're now out of it. But this is from Chris, who turns out to be Christopher W. Ullman, Vice President for Corporate Communications, the Carlyle Group.
What?
Yeah, and this guy is for real, by the way. I mean, a friend of mine did an article about the Carlyle Group,
yeah,
and for, I think it was counterpunch.org.
Org, that is, right.
Yeah, and he got a refutation from Christopher W. Ullman. And Christopher W. Ullman, he says, I mean, he reminds me of Ari Fleischer. He says that Poppy Bush is no one other than just a spokesperson who, from time to time goes out on public relations little jaunts for the Carlyle Group.
Well, like that doesn't, heed some power.
Yeah, I guess. Well, now, here's what Chris Ullman writes from the Carlyle Group to me, Peter Werby. Greetings. One of your listeners emailed me indicating that the Carlyle Group is sometimes a subject of discussion on your radio program. I'm emailing you to introduce myself and see if we can answer any questions for you. We have a brand new website that discloses far more information about Carlyle than our previous website. The news release is below. I welcome the chance to discuss Carlyle with you if you are interested. You know, it's funny. What I would have is actually a an expert on the Carlyle Group. Maybe we can do that. Have them on together. Although I can't find here it is. It's just Carlyle.com. CARLYLE.com.
Well, that's interesting.
Carlyle.com.
In fact, we do. We talk a lot about the Carlyle
Group. Yeah. Maybe it was an understatement on Ullman's part. Now, let me see. I don't know if I I think I deleted it. Maybe I ought to bring that back up here. Now, the importance of the Carlyle Group can't be misunderstood because, obviously, when you turn a state over, a political state over entirely to the making of war and the securing of empire, the key component of war production is enormous. And so you have, a number of footings. I mean, you have to have the obfuscation machine, the obscuring things. Because if you told people, look, we're not going to have a national health program, but we're going to have these enormous weapon systems that are going to be in place all over the world, that we're going to conquer nations, we're going to have bases in these countries, and we need that all to protect the interests of the leader's class and the leader's friends and the president's father's friends. Well, it just sounds like a racket, right?
Just slightly.
Yeah. So what you have to have then is control not only of the economy, not only of the political system, but also of the medium itself. If there's more than one, it's media, but we're talking about the medium. And here in the New York Times, this is an incredible article. Keepers of Bush image lift stagecraft to new heights. And it says George W. Bush's Top Gun landing on the deck of the carrier Abraham Lincoln. Now, this is not from so long ago either. Yeah, this is just Saturday's paper. It will be remembered as one of the most audacious moments of presidential theater in American history. But it's only the latest example of how the Bush administration, going far beyond the foundations and stagecraft set by the Reagan White House, is using the powers of television and technology to promote a presidency like never before. Now, I suspect on one hand that people are going, oh, my God, I never knew that. I thought this was all just spontaneous and there was none of the... Yeah, so people know that, right?
I would assume. I mean, there's the advanced team that goes in there. We remember, if anyone paid attention to Boxgate, they know that.
Yeah, where are they? What did they? What was the deal with that again?
That was the deal where they were speaking. He was speaking in a warehouse. These were boxes that actually originally said "Made in China," and they put "Made in the USA."
Yeah, because he was promoting U.S. goods. Bush was. Yeah. Well, it says officials of past Democratic and Republican administrations marvel at how the White House does not seem to miss an opportunity to showcase Mr. Bush, as they call him in the New York Times, in dramatic and perfectly lighted settings. It is all by design, the White House. That's one sentence. It is all by design. Although they need a capital letter. The White House has stocked its communications operation with people from network television who have expertise in lighting, camera, angles, and the importance of backdrops. On Tuesday, at a speech promoting his economic plan in Indianapolis, White House aides went so far as to ask people in the crowd behind Mr. Bush to take off their ties.
Yeah.
You knew this, huh?
I knew all this, yeah.
So they would look more like ordinary folk, the right. President said would benefit from his tax cut.
There was one guy who was high up. Where was this?
Indianapolis, right? Yeah.
There was one, I can't remember his position, but he kept taking his tie off, putting it on, taking it off. He changed it like four times, one for an interview on the local news. He took it off for when GW got on stage. He had it on before in a pre-conference speech. It's just... stupid.
Well, I guess in a world dominated by television, it'd be hard to understand someone not doing it. But if people don't see in it this manipulation of our emotions and how this overcomes the rational sense or the rational sector of our brain, so that what we really consume is images, and the images contain a message embedded in them. So it's not information. When Bush speaks, they're not looking to convey information. They're looking to impress an image on our brain. They are like advertisers.
That's right.
And, it's funny. Over the years, I mean, we just kind of tolerate advertising. Sometimes, they pay our salaries, right?
Yeah.
You and me. And oftentimes they have stuff in there that we're interested in. And that's why people advertise, because they know, even though you might say you don't like advertising, you think, oh, yeah, how about that Honda ad? How about, I don't know what, how about this nightclub or, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. We maybe 90% of the time block it all out. But very frequently when we come to the aspect in our lives of consuming, that often can shape our opinions, which, I don't know. I mean, you could argue there's a problem with that. But when it comes to decision-making about the direction of the political state, that's anti-democratic. And I don't mean big D, folks. I mean little D. Now, listen to some of this. The White House efforts have been ambitious and costly. For the primetime television address that Mr. Bush delivered to the nation on the anniversary of the September 11th attacks, the White House rented three barges of giant Musco lights, the kind used to illuminate sports stadiums and rock concerts, sent them across New York Harbor, tethered them in the water around the base of the Statue of Liberty, and then blasted them upward to illuminate all 305 feet of America's symbol of freedom. It was the ultimate patriotic backdrop for Mr. Bush, who spoke from Ellis Island.
I know. And the company, that Musco, they're from my home state of Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
They won't tell how much money that the that they spent on this.
Now, am I being indignant about something that everyone knows about?
Well, Peter,
I just found this out on Saturday.
Well, you were traveling and having fun. I think it came out on Friday.
Yeah. Well, now, even more so that we should, particularly when we're talking about these huge searchlights, these huge spotlights,
yeah,
we should talk about the historic personage of Albert Speer, S-P-E-E-R. Do you know who that is?
Albert Speer.
Okay, we'll talk about it when we come back. That's what we call in the business, right, a little teaser. So people say, Albert Speer, I must know who that is. All right, join us on the Peter Werby Show. Jalene Jordan is with me, and we'll tell you what Albert Speer would have thought about all this.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Honey, what's for dinner?
Hot dogs.
We had hot dogs last night,
mm-hmm,
and for breakfast today,
yeah,
and lunch.
I'm playing the French's Mustard Instant Win Game. Every bottle has a giveaway. You can win $50,000 instantly or tons of great stuff from Six Flags.
Well, French's is my favorite mustard.
Now it's even better.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. All claims must be postmarked by 12/31/03. Must be legal U.S. resident 18 years to enter. See specially marked packages of French's Mustard or www.frenchesfoods.com for details. Nothing cuts the mustard like French's.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Who says George W. doesn't love working people? I saw him hug one. The occasion was yet another Bush photo op, this one in Little Rock at a pep rally to cheer George's plan to give at least $500 billion from our public treasury to America's richest people. The Arkansas Republican Party handpicked the cheering audience for the event, and as the TV cameras rolled, a worker was brought on stage for George to hug. Why a worker? It's part of the Bushite flimflam trying to deceive we the people into thinking that while this massive giveaway of public funds actually would go into the silk pockets of the wealthy, it's really being done for us. Or, as Bush said at the stage media event, for the American worker. Workers sure could use a break. Since Bush took office, 2.6 million jobs have been lost, long-term unemployment is up by 184%, an additional 2 million Americans have no health insurance, wages are stagnant, pensions are being eliminated, and more corporations are abandoning America to exploit cheap labor abroad. But instead of simply putting money directly into the hands of the workers by, say, requiring corporations to pay a living wage or by cutting the payroll taxes that workers and small businesses pay, the Bushites are practicing the same old trickle-down economics that George's daddy once ridiculed as voodoo. Fatten the rich, goes this bankrupt theory, and they'll buy more luxury SUVs, causing more auto workers to be hired and, trickle-trickle, the economy to be stimulated. But wait, the rich are few in number and will only buy so many SUVs. Besides, most SUVs aren't made in the U.S., so there won't be any trickle-down on American workers, nor any stimulus for our economy. This is Jim Hightower saying, Bush should have been hugging a Wall Street speculator, for that's his true love. Bush's economic stimulus is a fraud. The rich get the money, the rest of us get a made-for-TV hug. Try taking that to the bank.
Show 1-800-TALK-YES 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. It's that time on the Peter Werby Show where we play Eat the Rich. Why? Because they're eating us. Jalene Jordan, you ready for this one?
I'm ready.
Okay. And this was sent in from, or sent in by, rather, Karen from Minneapolis. Karen, thank you very much. You win absolutely nothing for this week's item. Maybe we should get some little prizes. That would induce people. Karen sent this in, and this was from the local paper. Now, you should tell people who Denise, this is perfect. It's Denise Rich. She wins the prize for the Eat the Rich. And remind people who Denise Rich is.
The husband of the...
Wife.
I mean, the wife of Mark Rich, the financier? Is that
the
what
financier
it was?
Who was financier. Pardoned by Bill Clinton just before leaving the presidency. Yeah. So she took a recent trip to Aspen, and she meticulously packed her essentials, toiletry, ski gear, thermals. Oh, yeah. And she took her own private yoga instructor with her.
Oh, God. Like, there aren't... yoga classes in Aspen.
Aspen. Can you imagine how many yoga people there are? She wanted to take her own. According to this article, it may seem like indulgence to the nth degree, but in some echelons of society where a $1,000 handbag is considered a bargain and conversations about Iraq are conducted over dinner at Jean Georges, it is a necessity. In today's stressful times, is a belief that a trusted expert, someone whose job is to keep you centered or well-fed or coiffed or thin, offers solace and a sense of equanimity.
Well, isn't she lucky?
Yeah. Here's what Richie Rich said, Denise Rich. Because the world is in such an upset and such turmoil, it's so important to come inside yourself with something like meditation rather than focus on what is going on around you. Now, on one hand, that is true. You should be able to have that balance because you can either be just eaten up, right? If all you do is focus on the horrors of the world, if they aren't affecting you directly. I mean, I would think, I don't know, meditation might even do you some good if you were, I'm sure it would do you a lot of good if you were in Iraq. I mean, I've read accounts of people like Tibetans that have been imprisoned by the Chinese for 25 years and tortured frequently, and they talked about how, in many ways, Zen meditation saved them, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
On the other hand, if all you do is say, because of the kind of class and skin privilege that you may have, you totally withdraw from daily life. What kind of person? Are you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, Jules Paxton, her own guru, she paid the guru herself. Who else would pay, right?
Yeah.
As a gift to herself.
Well.
So we say eat the rich here on the Peter Werby Show. If you have an item that qualifies in that category, please send it to us at calltalkyes@yahoo.com.
She is the worst. In fact, remember that picture that was around during, it was of Clinton looking at her boobs? Do you remember that?
No.
I mean, they're always out there. They're way out there the world to see.
You mean what you
her
just
boobs.
Said? Yeah, all right. I'm old school. I can't say those things. All right. Here's Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Joe, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Yeah, well, I hate rich yuppies like almost as much as I hate rednecks. I want to promote a presidential candidate. I bet Jim Hightower himself would approve of Dennis Kucinich. He did a very good job in that debate the other night, and the toll-free number for him is 866-41-DENNIS. And as a matter of fact, most of the union members and ask me favor him for president. But you notice that the media has already declared that he can't win.
Sure. Well, yeah. I would almost declare he can't win unless there is such a mass movement, which perhaps is something that should be investigated, because that big corporate money ain't going to go to him.
Yeah, that's right. That's true, but, you know, it's kind of funny. It's like, well, we're not going to cover his message because they've already declared that he can't win.
Oh, and I got you. So they put him down with, what's her name, from Chicago.
Yeah, Carol.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much, Joe. Carol Mosley Brown. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Hey, Jolene, you're not keeping me on message.
I was supposed
to tell you who Albert Speer was.
Oh, jeez.
All right, when we come back, many of you know. Some of you already emailed. We'll tell you. Jolene Jordan, Peter Werby, with 1-800-TALK-YES. No guess, you join us.
Strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
Rising temperatures could help push Alaskan communities into the sea. After years of struggle, a few of them have decided to move. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. About 600 people live in the village of Shishmaref, Alaska. The community sits on a tiny island near the Bering Strait that separates Alaska from Russia. For centuries, people on the island have earned their living from the sea. But the sea is rising, the waves are getting bigger, and the village is washing away. Last August, the people there voted to pull up stakes and move to the mainland. Tony Weyoana was born in Shishmaref. He's a native Inupiaq Eskimo, and he works on the town's Erosion and Relocation Coalition.
We don't want to move, but considering the situation here, we have to move. We're limited in land for development, and we're continually moving homes and other structures away from the beach to prevent them from falling over into the sea.
Weyoana says a lot of villagers worry that moving from the island to the mainland will change their traditional subsistence way of life.
Our main diet is seals and fish and that kind of stuff from the ocean. So the community moving to a location on the mainland, it kind of changes our situation. You know, how are we going to access our subsistence that we've been accustomed to for hundreds of years?
Rising temperatures in the Arctic are behind the erosion that's eating away at Shishmaref and other villages. An increase of a few degrees in the last century has melted some of the permafrost, and it now crumbles more easily. Ice on the ocean has melted, and storm waves have gotten bigger. And melting glaciers have helped raise sea levels by 1 foot during the past 100 years. This triple threat from warmer weather has Shishmaref and other villages in Alaska on the move. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yeah.
to the Peter Werby Show. Call and talk to Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. Call 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Jillian Jordan is with me as well. That's the Ramones. Great garage band, right?
Yeah, now the main Ramone, didn't he just die last year?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Joey Ramone.
Joey, right.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it was him. Oh. All right. I know we were going to keep me on focus. We were going to talk about who is Albert Speer. But can I go off focus just a little?
It's your show.
Yeah, okay. All right. We're trying to think of names that are as good as the one that Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network has for the Bush administration, which is the Bush crime family.
Yes.
I usually call it the Bush gang, the Bush regime, you know, something like that. And this is Brian who says in Orange County, California, for just Bush himself, I can't even bring myself to say W. Too cutesy. I call him simply Duh. Short for W, as in duh is an idiot. Well, that's disrespectful.
I like Bush gang.
Bush gang. Okay, we could call that. Mike in Denver writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. How about these? The Bush cartel, the Bush corporate cartel, mm-hmm. W, and the Bush leaguers.
Cartel, very good.
That's
They're
very
all good.
Good. Yeah. Bush leaguer, that's the song by Pearl Jam, right?
What?
Pearl Jam has a song called Bush leaguer.
They do?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I don't know my Pearl Jam.
Okay.
I
All right.
To see
so,
a concert a few weeks ago.
We were, oh yeah. Did we talk about that on the air?
I think so. I can't remember.
I was wondering whether they did anything political?
Not really. He was pretty. And then I went to see the band live, and Ed Kowalczyk has been pretty political, and he just said, let's just get this, you know what, the hell over with. I thought, you know, I came all the way here to see hear you say something, you know, political, something strong.
Yeah. All right. Who's Albert Speer? So what we're talking about is how the Bush gang is manipulating our senses through television, through stage managing every performance, every venue where he is. And we were talking about, for instance, that the use of these three barges of giant Musco lights, the kind used to illuminate sports stadiums and rock concerts, and they were sent into New York Harbor, and they were sent upward 305 feet to illuminate the Statue of Liberty. This reminds
me. Can I guess?
Yes.
Who Albert Speer is?
Sure.
I think he is connected to the Nazi party.
Yes. He was Hitler's architect.
Yes.
And he also designed things like the Nuremberg rallies, where they had all these searchlights. I don't know if they were Musco lights or not. But he had all these searchlights to create what he called a cathedral of ice.
And there was a woman as well, the filmmaker who helped him out.
Leni Riefenstahl.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Was she involved in that? She did this
yes.
Film. She was a great filmmaker.
Well,
in fact, I think she's still alive. She's about 98 or something like that. She did a documentary film on a Nazi rally called Triumph of the Will.
Right.
So they were great masters of propaganda. They knew how to manipulate people. They didn't rule just by force, because that's the last resort. And if you have to keep a people down simply by a police state, usually what they do is they, you know, people like you and me and a lot of our listeners, they, you know, they're not going to be held down by a bunch of tin cup, I don't know what that means exactly, propaganda techniques and little, you know, searchlights and, you know, positioning of some politician on a shipboard or something, on shipboard. So, you know, that's why sometimes in police states, they actually have to rule, you know, the hardcore cases. They have to, you know, use the police. But Albert Speer knew how to design and manipulate popular opinion. So at once it encouraged you to follow the herd, to not think critically, but in fact to become overwhelmed by the sense of the mass. The mass which is submissive to the state and to the leader. This is very, very important. And television doesn't exactly look like a mass Nuremberg rally where everyone's out in the street in Nuremberg, Germany, right? Mm-hmm. So because we have this in our home. This is our television. Well, you know, that's we don't own the television, really. The television owns us.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm surprised the government doesn't give them away.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. In any event, Albert Speer knew how to design all of this, and so did his modern-day contemporaries. And, for instance, said, for a speech that Bush delivered last summer at Mount Rushmore, the White House positioned the best platform for television crews off to one side, not head-on, as other White House cameras have done, so that the cameras caught Bush in profile. His face perfectly aligned with the four presidents carved in stone.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, let's see.
Oh, yes.
Here's Bill listening in Seattle. He's got another, yeah, this is good, got another good name. He said, this is similar to Malloy. Malloy has the Bush crime family. This is the Bush syndicate.
Ah, yeah, okay.
That's pretty good as well.
That's really good.
Let's welcome John from Long Beach, California. John, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Hi.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Yeah, Albert Speer, he also, I believe, the other put him in charge of his armaments factory also.
Yes, yes, indeed.
And I read his autobiography. It was funny. The guy was an intellectual, but he was totally mesmerized by Hitler.
Boy, does that sound familiar or what?
I can't hear you.
No, I said, does that sound familiar or what?
Oh, yeah. Now, another name for the Bush crime family, which is what I use all the time myself, but is Bush Unorganized Crime Family.
The Bush, say it again, Bush what?
Bush Unorganized.
Unorganized Crime Family. Why do you think they're unorganized? They seem pretty organized to me.
You know, when you look at all the stupid things they've done, they're not all that coordinated. The only thing, the reason they're successful is because stupid people believe in them.
Yeah, right. I mean, if you look at Iraq, they were telling us all the wonderful things that were going to happen and how the people would welcome us as liberators. Now they're saying, America, get out. We want an Islamic republic. We want women with their faces and bodies covered.
We don't even know right now, Peter, what the blowback's going to be.
Yeah, you're right. I think that all the information is not in. All the cards have not been played yet, that's for sure. Absolutely. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. This is from Mark. Mark's listening in Alabama. He says, I'm a new listener, and he says that he's a Democrat living in Alabama, what he calls the armpit of the South. Alabamians. Don't put up with that.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, and a stronghold of conservatives in the Christian right. That's true. Your show keeps me sane and reminds me there are other views out there. Well, yeah. Anyway, just about every day that he sends out emails to his friends, I'm going to summarize this, and he says that he goes to my website at peterwerby.com, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerby.com, and he does that because there are links to the information that we give on this broadcast, right? It's not just, some of it's our opinion. Some of it is information, is factual, because he says that if he tells people I heard it on talk radio, people roll their eyes.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I even had people roll their eyes when I tell them that I got information from academia, you know, so.
I mean, you didn't get it from Fox News? Wow. He says, anyways, you just mentioned that Johnny Cash and his late wife, June, both were against the war against Iraq. He says, I'm a huge fan of his and very much opposed to war. Could you please email me the link where I can find out more about this so I can spread the word? Mark, I don't know. And you know where I think I saw this? I think I saw this on a right-wing pro-war station that was condemning June Carter and Johnny Cash.
Yeah, maybe Google search.
Yeah, that's what you have to do with all of this. And I'm certainly glad to hear from Mark, particularly as a first-time or recent listener and all that. But usually what I would do, for instance, I would go to Google, although some people have been telling me bad things about Google, and I should suggest other websites.
Really?
You know, search sites. I don't know, man. You know,
well,
who?
Send me an email with some other suggestions.
Yeah.
I have good luck with it.
But anyways, I would put in June Carter, anti-war. Johnny Cash, anti-war, and see what you come up with. All right. Now, here's Jacob. Jacob's listening way over in Finland. Remember, we've heard from him.
Oh, sure.
I don't even know how you say it. Jacob, maybe if you're still listening, and that's the value of the Internet, of course, maybe you could email me the pronunciation, or I'll call it Oulu. Maybe that's it. O-U-L-U, Finland. All right?
Yeah, could be.
Yeah. He says his suggestion for the name of the Bush administration, the Bush regime, M Bush Mob. Oh, yeah, like, American, A-M. So it's capital A, small m, capital B-U-S-H. So it's Ambush Mob. Yeah, okay, that one's not going to work. Sorry, Jacob. Well, I kind of liked it. Names for the Bush administration. This is from Paul. Let's see. The Bush Fraudastration. I like that. The Bush Baby Circus. The Illegal Bush Junta.
Ah.
The Bush Scamcateers.
Scamcateers.
Scamcateers, yeah. Oh, man, he's... Oh, whoa! Team Smirk. Names for Bush. The Chimposter. the unselected fraud, the imperial dunce, the court-appointed chimp, the president, the war chimp. That's it. Call me. He says, oh, I'm sorry. He says, call me Supa Dupa if you decide to read any of these. I read them all, Supa Dupa. Sorry, I didn't mean to give your name, but so that was at the end. And you can send these into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. You can call 1-800-TALK-YES. It's Dave from Silverdale, Washington. Dave, hi. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan. Welcome.
Hey, Peter and Jalene.
I want to know why I can't say an easy word like that. Silverdale.
Silverdale. That you have some of those
Peter,
things.
If you came out here and visited on a beautiful day and took in the Puget Sound and the Olympic Mountains, it would be etched forever in your mind.
Oh, I definitely want to come out there. There's a guy that trained, not trained, what am I saying? He filmed some of the wild orca whales for Free Willy and Free Willy 2. And I interviewed him. He told me to come out and meet the pod. So I've always wanted to do that.
Well, I'm glad they got it on film because the Navy with their sonar is about to drive all the pods out of the Puget Sound.
Really?
I don't know if you heard about
no,
it.
No.
Well, they've in different parts of the world, they've killed large groups of whales with this, I don't know exactly the type of sonar, but it's seriously harmful to the underwater wildlife. And a couple weeks ago, a ship in the Puget Sound here turned on their sonar, and it sent a couple of pods and some Pacific porpoises literally fleeing for their lives.
Great.
Yeah, horrible. The reason I called was to ask you if you're familiar with Alice Miller's work, For Your Own Good.
Tell me.
Well, Alice Miller in Your Own Good talks about Nazi Germany and the parenting practices that kind of led up to a very let's call it a captive audience, a people who were basically ripe for authoritarianism. And she basically began, and I think it ties into what you're talking about with the Bush cartel and their ideology, the presentation, and the fact that the American public seems unable to muster the will to reject it.
Okay.
And I think that that's a part of a longer term. For 20 years as an adult, I've been raised in an environment where you hear about the liberal media, you have this perception it's the liberals out there crying and whining, but let's look at the reality. I mean, from Reagan on, from the late 1970s, it is the conservatives who are howling and whining and crying. And basically, it sets up kind of a low-grade conflict. It wears down your will to even talk back to it. First it was kind of writing it off all those crazy conservatives. And all of a sudden, those crazy conservatives are in power. And we have a bunch of Democrats who seem to lack the will to even respond.
They're responding a little bit. I've actually, there's life there. It was flatlined for a while, but they're actually making some criticisms of Bush, saying, hey, he hasn't really solved the war on terrorism, has he? And maybe this economy is in the ditch. And Terry McAuliffe actually said that Bush had a far right wing agenda. I said, man, wow.
Talking about McCarthyism, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know why I think that is, though, finally? Is that it's people like you, it's callers like me who call up and do have the will to talk back, do have the will to take it to the streets, and are making these Democrats basically guard their left flank. And I think that Democratic-minded people, progressives, need to make sure that Democrats understand that, you know, my vote to the Democratic Party is I'm an independent. They've got to earn it, and they're going to earn it by going left, not this centrist Democratic Leadership Council vision of Republican light.
Yeah, I agree. And when are they going to get the message? Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
All right. Let me try it one more time. Silverdale. Why can't I say that? Silverdale. No, there you go. I chew it.
Silverdale.
There you go. All right. Yeah, one of the things I forgot about, another thing I didn't keep on focus, way back when we were talking about this big tax ripoff for the rich that Bush is trying to shove down our throat, and
it's
going to wind up with the average person getting $10, and he and Dick Cheney getting literally millions. I mean, folks, come on. Even you conservatives out there, shouldn't Cheney and Bush refuse this? I mean, are they actually enacting legislation that enriches them and no one's saying a thing? Come on. All right, anyways, also the Senate tax bill blows open $100,000 loophole for largest SUV gas guzzlers. This is from the Natural Resources Defense Council. Six-figure subsidies for Hummer, Range Rover, and 36 other luxury big rigs will cost taxpayers billions, boost U.S. dependence on Middle East oil. The controversial tax loophole for buyers of the largest, least efficient SUVs could be quadrupled. Right now it's $25,000, and they want to make it, the Republicans do, of course, $100,000 per vehicle under tax legislation passed by the U.S. Senate last night. This is from a day ago or so. Effectively subsidizing the full price for 38 of the largest and most costly SUV models on the American road, including the Hummer, the Range Rover, and the Cadillac Escalade.
Ah,
can you imagine that?
Those are those big, 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 big ones, yeah.
Yeah, and the Hummer. I mean, if you were single, Jillian,
yes,
and you you know, kind of met a guy and you said, okay, yeah, come pick me up at my house, and he showed up in a Hummer.
I mean, I would not get in it. I would send him a pack and so fast.
I mean, wouldn't you think, what is up with this guy? Anyway.
Oh, and they have these little mini Hummers now. And I
see, they have mini Hummers?
Listen, this woman in my yoga class drives a mini Hummer to yoga. And I am on the other end of the room. I don't want anything to do with her.
I gotcha. All right. At the very same time, lawmakers at work on the new energy bill are threatening to eliminate a successful $2,000 tax deduction for fuel-efficient gas electric hybrid vehicles. So reward the Hummers buyers and the Cadillac Escalade buyers. And what are those things called? I can't remember those, like Hondas, and they've got some Prius.
Prius?
Yeah, something like that. Where are the priorities of this administration? Why do I say it as a question? It's pretty clear where their priorities are.
Priorities are all screwed up.
Well, I like this. How about this? Names for the Republican, the Bushwackies. The whole movement could be called the Bushkrieg. Yeah.
We're getting some good ones.
Yeah, we'll be back. Celine Jordan and Peter Werby, 1-800-TALK-YES.
You want your son to be a doctor, so you've got to get him to his SAT course on time. You probably want to whip up something quick for dinner. Think fast. Think eggs. Like a microwave egg casserole with ham and cheese. It's delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So your son makes it to his course, gets into med school, and you get free medical care for the rest of your life. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
50 file cabinets, 80 gallons of semi-gloss. Small business people don't shop like most people. And with Open, the Small Business Network, they can get the rewards program they deserve. One with no limit on points, no expiration date on points, and hundreds of rewards. But only when they use the American Express Business Card, the card with the Open Network built in. To apply, call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Enrollment to the membership rewards program required. Terms and fees may vary for American Express Business Cards. Not all are eligible for enrollment.
John, there's something I must tell you. I want to be free.
Oh, Helen, you want to be free with the wind in your hair, life without care?
No, I want to be free of those overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
You want Freelax, the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Oh, John, I just wish everything could be that dependable.
Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative, look for it in the bright green box. Use only as directed.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Are you tired of being yelled at, preached at, lectured to, demagogued, ridiculed, moralized, proselytized, and abused? Why don't you try something new? Join me, Nancy Skinner, on IE America Radio Network, where we can discuss the issues of the day from a whole new and healthier perspective. Nobody gets fed to the lions. Everybody has a right to their opinions. And the best thing is you walk away feeling better about life.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop. Weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
Welcome back to the Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. And, gee, Jalene Jordan, we've just got tons of email. Maybe we'll use the last few minutes to read some of that.
Sure.
This is from Shelley LaPree, and he's the webmaster at radiopower.org. Also has his own show there. And you can, it's kind of a mirror of our IEAmericaRadio.com. And if you're having trouble ever with the streaming, you can go to radiopower.org. Also, they got tons of great stuff there. And he's talking about Ari Fleischer resigning. Yeah. And he says, Ari, the pencil-neck geek, is well-groomed for life in the corporate sector, where his ability for lying through his teeth while keeping a straight face is well-proven and comes in handy for companies like Halliburton, Bechtel, Enron, WorldCom, etc.
Yeah, go rock their world, yeah. Ari.
Now, we're talking about names for the Bush regime. How about the Bush bandits? All they do is steal. They sold two elections. They robbed a treasury. They robbed Iraq of their oil. And I could go on and on, says Jamel.
That's really good.
All right. Says Michael. Just cut to the chase, Peter. It's the Bush Reich.
Well, we have mentioned something about that in the past.
And we also talked about a different search engine other than Google.
Yeah.
Chris in Indianapolis writes, for a new search engine, tried dogpile.com. I have heard of D-O-G-P-I-L-E. It returns results from many different search engines and simultaneously. And he says, it's all I've used since Al Gore invented the Internet.
That's funny.
Now, Jacob has written back from Finland, and his town, O-U-L-U, is in fact Ulu.
Ulu.
And he says that another suggestion for the Bush gang, Bush Ranger. And in Australia, it's an outlaw living in the bush.
Ah.
In the U.S., it's a person who lives away from civilization. Let's see, one more here. Hank from Santa Fe, listening to KTRC, thought one of those caller guys said the Bush virus. Apparently he didn't, but I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
right.
it spawned creativity for you.
Do we have
you,
any
Hank?
More? Yeah. Nelson from Santa Fe, listening to KTRC, says Lacosa Bustra.
Lacosa?
Like Lacosa Nostra?
Lacosa Nostra, right.
Yeah,
right.
Lacosa Bustra. All right. Okay.
Ah.
I don't think that one's going to make it, Nelson. Remember I said about I'm surprised that given the manipulative power of television and particularly how it's used now, that that we don't give them away. The government. Tom writes in and he says, I just heard you say it's surprising the government doesn't give TVs away. And he says there's a Stephen King story in which that happens in the future. TVs are called freebies and are used for propaganda and placation. Yeah, it's the Running Man, if you were curious. I am. Just throwing that in.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And thanks to all of you. Thanks, Char, for being our engineer today. Jalene Jordan, thank you as always. And I'm off to see actor Mike Farrell. He's going to be talking in front of this joint meeting of this AFTRA and SAG. We had him on as a guest a little earlier in the broadcast. And the unions are going to merge. I'll tell you about that tomorrow. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Peter Wuerbe Show on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Peter Wuerbe Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Jalene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Wuerbe Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern, on the IE America Radio Network.